It's showtime.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 12th day of April, 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's also where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky Zany real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Yep. And if you pop by right here, right now, this very instant, well, you'll be greeted by early arriver Squeaky and incapably moderated by yours truly. Hi, I'm Robin. And I'm sorry about yesterday evening, but it was a good and productive meeting. And it was good, good to be able to participate. There's a, and by the way, if you hear that humming in the background that isn't the drum loop, well, I'm kind of glad the drum loop's going right now because Ferg is out, he's being the good and dutiful son that he is, and for some reason or another, he always has a talent for mowing right at airtime. So that's the thing that sounds like an airplane flying right by the window every so often. Yeah. But I'm really grateful to him for doing it. It was another gray day here, but it was kind of lovely. Went to lunch. Just not a whole bunch of trans girls here in southern West Virginia, but two of us went to lunch together and had a lovely time. Yeah, told you. It sounds like there's an airplane flying outside next to the... Mm-hmm. Not complaining. No, but like, oh, yeah, like I said, Squeaky and Roger in Oregon and Anatole are all in the chat room. And moderating from Pinch Hit Midweek chat room, utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Steve! Good to see you. Thanks for popping by this evening and you know, professionally moderating instead of leaving it to a rank amateur like me. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So what that means is we say thank you to our 12th day of the month subscribers. And what that means is we say thank you to Paul. Thank you, Paul. And thank you to Gary in New York. And thank you to... Tim Zed in Iowegia, who, as promised, doubled 3 new subscribers that we got last month. Thank you so much, and thank you to Cecilia for jumping in. So, hallelujah, glory, and thank you, Billable Rick, for following through on your challenge from this past Friday. That was really helpful. Thank you so much. What that boils down to is the fundraising goal for this evening. $1,340. Thank you, one and all, for helping to keep liberal progressive, independent broadcasting on the air right here next to the airstrip. Okay, that's me being silly, but yeah. But it's Titanic Tuesday, a day for taking note of the silliness and outright stupidity that manifests itself as right-wing intellect. Oh, silence is... Nope, it started up again. We got a great place to start. This is just so... I think, you know, I see this kind of stuff, and I just thank the goddess of irony for loving me enough to provide me stuff. And the fact that it's a 3X Marcia story is even better. Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. Yes, the she has now been referred to as the Louis Gohmert of the Senate. But as long as the Senate has Ron Johnson in it, and Tommy the Tuber down south of her in Alabama, and Tommy the Tuber's presence in Alabama sort of plays into this story anyway. I feel like I just need to wait until he's done right around here. Because I know y'all can hear that if it's annoying me. Kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like listening to a Republican senator talk. Just drones on and on and on. Maybe I can go and sort of wave him off. No, because sooner or later we're just going to have to live through this. Thank you, Billable Rick. Admit it, Billable Rick says. Admit it, Ferg is practicing flying your Gulfstream 5 around your house. I hope he doesn't hit the horn studio. Oh no, please, not an Ozzy Osbourne, Randy Rhodes moment. No, that's just so wrong. Flavio, meanwhile, I guess we're going to have an argument over what kind of aircraft it is. Because Flavio says, oh, that's definitely a McDonnell Douglas DC-10 wide-body airliner. Yeah, why not? Oh, that's good. That's good. Again, thanks to Cecilia for getting us started and knocking the fundraising goal down to $1,340. That's really, really helpful. And hopefully there will be some... company for Cecilia along the way. Marsha Blackburn. Flavio says, inside Marsha Blackburn's head is a large spider made of pipe cleaners, heard on the Bob Seska show. Well, if they're made of pipe cleaners, that's an upgrade from the last time. Because the previous spider was made from spit and toilet paper and old chewing gum wrappers, a la MacGyver. Sad news that Scott in San Diego reminds me of. I saw it right before airtime. Requiescat in pace to... Gilbert Gottfried, who passed away today at the age of 67. That's way too soon. You know, and I hate this fainting with damn praise. The way BuzzFeed put it was comedian Gilbert Gottfried, known for his voiceovers and his crude humor, dead at 67. Yeah, really? Neil Nisi Bonham, for God's sakes. His family in a statement said, although today is a sad day for all of us, please keep laughing as loud as possible in Gilbert's honor. He passed after what was described as a long illness. Scott in San Diego says, I'm lowering my Aflac to half-mast. Well done. I think of, what was it, the parrot in Disney's Aladdin? Duly noted, Matt in San Francisco. Subject line, noise. Turn off the massage chair, sister. You're not fooling me. Ooh, it's all tingly in here.
That's it.
That's for the DC-10, the Gulfstream 5, and most of all, the massage chair. And turn off the magic fingers, Robin. Stop. Stop. Anatole in the chat room posting the video to Depeche Mode. Enjoy the silence. Wait. It's silent. Maybe he's done with this part of the yard. That would be fantastic. Yeah. Annette noting, he's worked all day, and he's trying to get it done this evening before the rain comes again, because the last few weeks have just been one long loop of the Eurythmic singing, here comes the rain again, falling on my head like, never mind. But something else that was special, I noticed it today on the way home from lunch. It's officially my favorite time of spring, because the red buds are in bloom. They weren't yesterday. I mean, it happens that fast. But this is real damn spring now, because the red buds are in bloom. A couple of days ago, Sunday, a dear friend of mine shared a container of ramps with me, freshly dug. Wonderful things are going to... A good omelet with some sautéed ramps in it, you can't use a lot, or it'll just ruin everybody's life. But they're so good, sautéed in butter. And folded into an omelet, or served in brown beans, or eaten next to an airplane hangar. But the ramps are up. Some people have already found morels. I need the kind of friends that share their morels. God, I love those little mushrooms. And man, he's right next to the studio, isn't he? But the red buds always make me happy, because during the brief time in which the red buds are blooming in Appalachia, all the hills just turn this glorious, glorious shade of intermingled green and pink. And it's a really, really pretty kind of pink. As the Gilbert Gottfried Lee in New York reminds me, PBS's Cyber Chase has lost the voice of Digit. I wasn't aware of that program. Matt, you wouldn't turn off the massage chair either, trust me. Subject line, ghost guns. Lady B provided us with another of her powerful essays this evening. She says, I can't claim to be psychic, but this was literally sitting in my drafts folder. I wrote it yesterday while listening to Biden's speech, but didn't send it to you because I'd already sent you two lengthy messages. But as the Joker says, and here we go. Don't want to start a discussion on whether it's right or wrong to want to possess a ghost gun or even an automatic weapon. There is simply no agreement on this issue. You're either pro-gun or you're not. But I'm curious to know what type of person the public thinks of when they hear about ghost guns. Who came up with the idea? Who had the funds to create or outsource the manufacturing of these weapons? Yeah, now it's taxiing toward the hangar. Tom and Sunny San Rafael said, and here I thought it was a Cessna 172. Flavio says, now it's sounding like a Mitsubishi Zero. Wow, are you sure you're safe? Fortunately, this ain't Hickam Field, so. But, I saw the ghost guns remark, and you know what this is? This is an outgrowth of wait, what? Scott in San Diego says, I'm kicking in $10 to Ferg's Get a Goat Challenge. They're quieter. Since Ferg's mower sounds like zeros over Pearl Harbor, play the audio of FDR addressing the Congress. The attack yesterday, December 7th, 1941, is a day that will live in infamy. As to Redbuds, Billville Rick says, wasn't Redbud the favorite flower of Orson Welles, a.k.a. Citizen Kane? No, that was Rosebud. Redbud was like Panamanian Redbud in this, back when everything still had seeds. Never mind. Back to Lady B and her thoughts on ghost guns. What I was going to say is that, you know, the origin of this is in many ways because they're all just kits. And because of the way the ATF, in its infinite wisdom, I think there were probably some Republicans involved somewhere along the way, because of the way they classified it, as long as the gun was all in pieces, it did not qualify as a firearm. And where this really began was in the black powder industry. There are people who get a charge, see what I did there, out of hunting with muzzle loader weapons. And you can get kits for everything from flintlock pistols to replica Revolutionary War muskets to the Kentucky long rifle to actually modern black powder weapons. And it's all a matter of just following the directions and putting them together, and bang, you've got a gun. There it is, bang. And somebody finally had the bright idea of, let's do this with pistols. Because, you know, there aren't enough pistols out there. So when Lady B says, I'm curious to know what type of person the public thinks of when they hear about ghost guns. Who came up with the idea? Who had the funds to create or outsource the manufacturing of these weapons? We think of drug dealers and other criminals that are the masterminds behind this invention, that there are thousands of criminals, usually the poor and victims of sex trafficking, who labor away in a nondescript warehouse or other secret location, inventing and producing high-tech weaponry like this? And with the right equipment, aren't ghost guns fairly simple to make? But they're not being made by drug dealers. Their main job is to move product. They simply buy this shit. No, ghost guns are being made in fairly innocuous places, like a basement or in a garage or in a shed or in a person's computer room. The arms dealer will pay their supplier a handsome fee to locate the people who create and put this shit together. That means anybody with access to a 3D printer and other necessary parts are sought after. So who are these people? In some cases, these aren't even the 3D printer stuff. These things, once they're put together, don't look that far different from a pre-made pistol you could buy at, say, your local Rural King. Because a bunch of pistols now are made of composite synthetic materials. It's brought the price way down, brings the weight way down, too. And there's a lot of plastic in modern-produced firearms. And they come in a box, just like the pistol does. But until yesterday, they didn't have to have a serial number, and they weren't even considered to be guns. So Lady B says, could it be people with extra money and time at their disposal who are doing this? Obviously, they have knowledge of high tech. That narrows down the list quite a lot. I think you know where this is going. Lady B is blaming the white man, yada, yada, yada. But it's about more than that. Who has the time and resources to want to be able to smuggle a gun into a building or airplane undetected? Of course, we know criminals find them useful, so do folks who wish to cause this country great harm. Out of both of these, it's the second group that's harder to detect. So why do Biden et al. Make it seem like ghost guns are the result of shady guys who wish to hook your kids on drugs? Are we blind to the fact that these guys who loudly proclaimed it as their God-given right to possess multiple weapons also desire the ability to possess or carry these things into whatever situation they choose? Shouldn't they be scrutinized too? And before the bullshit arguments about guns versus knives and cars, out of the three, only two can actually multitask. One is primarily designed to be used as a utensil to eat or prepare food or to cut a rope. The other gets you to fucking work in the morning. Let's please stop thinking ghost guns are created by swarthy men who don't speak good English and live in underground bunkers. If you have a 3D printer, you can make one. If you have the money, you can buy one. Either way, that makes you an owner and thus part of the problem. Gang members versus rural and suburban gun nuts? Who should we be afraid of? Hint, it's both. But only one will manage a get-out-of-jail-free card if they're ever caught at all. Those guys are the hardest to sniff out. After all, who would suspect the guy wearing an Adidas shirt and cargo shorts or the man in dad jeans, New Balance sneakers, and shopping at Costco? We as a country chase our tails. Owning a gun to hunt for protection or for protection is a concept embedded in our American souls. But we still haven't decided if a civilian should own an automatic weapon, a weapon made exclusively for military combat. We don't want to violate anyone's rights. In the meantime, folks are looking into better ways to smuggle guns through airport security or mall security or even Capitol Hill security. 300+ million people, 120 firearms per every 100 citizens, but we don't have a gun problem. Let's blame it on the tools used versus our fucking culture. Ooga booga, ghost guns! But that's not what was used in today's shooting. It was just a regular semi-automatic. And America will never admit that selling these guns for public consumption is unnecessary. Owning any type of instrument that is solely designed to end a human life, that's kind of what's behind the innocuous and benign-sounding word protection, is considered a God-given fundamental right. The right to get a cap popped in your ass anytime, anywhere. And as far as the boogeyman known as mental illness, look into those stats. The mentally ill are actually more likely to be victims of crime than to perpetrate them. And yeah, mass shooters are usually psychopaths, but that should never be the excuse behind the hill Americans choose to, well, die on. So in America, mass shootings are par for the course. That shouldn't set right with anybody. Our losses are considered acceptable losses because fuck you, that's why. And even though those occurrences are dangerously random as hell, we try not to think too deeply about the fact that the next mass shooting to occur can include one of us. Anytime, any place, anywhere, to anybody. War-torn countries aside, we're the only country in the world that has mass shootings for absolutely no good reason. It's funny how they came up with the name ghost guns. A weapon so easy and discreet to make, it behaves like a phantom. Only this boogeyman has real-life consequences, especially in the country that builds and traffics in them. It's just another day ending in Y. Meanwhile, have another beer. Yeah, what's that song? Where have all the cowboys gone? I'll do all the dishes while you go have a beer. And the way she sings that word, beer. Yeah. And seriously, thank you, Scott. We are now down to 1340 as we try to catch up with fundraising from today, yesterday, and Friday, and Thursday. And $140 of Wednesday. Thank you, Scott. Randy Radar really enjoys your work, Lady B. Something's really wrong with our economy when Lady B writes like that and makes a living by cleaning office buildings. Well, the ink-stained wretch profession has never been a loss leader. Or has never, well, no, that's the wrong phrase. Has never, it's never been a way toward wealth and fame for very many people. And even Ernest Hemingway, who left a massive fortune for all of his offspring, and his great-grandchildren are enjoying it to this day. Ernest Hemingway said, "Hey, you want to be a writer? It's easy. All you have to do is sit down at the typewriter and bleed out a pint. Writing is hard, lonely work." And it it takes more time to bang out something like Lady B sends along than you might think, especially if you're careful with your words, as she is, because you might write something and then you go back and you edit it relentlessly over the course of hours until you make sure that you're saying what you want to say. But thank you, Randy, for your appreciation of what Lady B does. By the way, program note, reminder, again, almost 90% certain no show tomorrow, because tomorrow is my last appointment for speech therapy, and I have to do it in person down in Huntington, so that means I'll have to leave here at about 10:30, and Lord, what that means, the front end, that God, that's like up at 5 to bathe. Girling is hard. Well, you know what Caitlyn Jenner said. The toughest part about being trans is trying to figure out what to wear every day. Thanks, Kate. Shut the fuck up. I want to stop and see my buddy who's in the hospital as well down there, and spend some time with him. Hopefully he'll be back to eating soon, and one of the things he wants first is some of my barbecue with the hot slaw on it, and that's touching to me. So, like I said, very likely no program tomorrow, but programs on Thursday, program on Friday. I don't see anything in the coming week after that. That is next week. That looks like it's going to interfere. Nope, not a blessed thing. So, that much is good. Now, as to Titanic Tuesday. And on the ghost guns, one of the steps taken is to make sure that they at least have serial numbers so that they can be tracked. And I'm sure this will drive, you know, the various and sundry of gun humpers of America and we love the Second Amendment more than living children, and but we're pro-life. You know, National Ruble Association. It'll drive them absolutely bananas. Oh, but in line with what Lady B brought to our attention, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution today had the story of upcoming legislation in Georgistan. Steve, watch your back. As of this coming Tuesday, just about any Georgian with a pulse who doesn't have a felony conviction will be able to strap on some iron next time he feels like he needs to go to the Wally World because he's too chicken shit to go there to get a loaf of bread and a jug of milk without packing heat. So Senate Bill 319 will be signed into law Tuesday, creating the euphemistically termed constitutional carry in Georgistan. Slackers! We've been doing that in West Virginia for years and years and years now. Lawful weapons carrier in Georgia, according to the language carefully drafted for them, I'm sure, by an NRA lobbyist, will be able to pack a concealed handgun anywhere that permit holders can carry them now. This lets out airports, government buildings that have security at the entrance, state capitol, because those good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Christian Republicans know better than to let the hoi polloi into the Georgia state capitol but packing heat, because you never know when they're going to decide they're mad at you after all. and bust out all
Wolverines.
Now, you won't be able to do it if you've got prior drug convictions. You won't be able to do it if you've been convicted of a felony. You won't be able to do it if you've faced felony charges. You won't be able to do it if you've been treated or for mental health or substance abuse issues within the last 5 years. Or if you've had an involuntary commitment to a mental health hospital. You still won't be able to purchase or possess handguns. Now, if in case you were wondering why this is happening this year, it's because Brian Kemp, remember, he's the former Secretary of State of Georgia who dummied up the election to make sure that Stacey Abrams didn't get to be governor. This shit would not be signed into law if she was. And so thanks to Nitwit Nero, he's got a hard push from the right, and that makes this measure actually kind of, moderate in a place like Georgia, Stan. Because leave the maggot right to their yearnings, and it wouldn't be long before people carrying children to term would be required to prove that they had purchased the baby a goddamn gun, so that it could be placed in baby's bassinet immediately upon entry into the world. And of course, what was it? Queens. Apparently, the NRA's roulette wheel of death stopped in Queens the other day, and they just moved it over to Brooklyn and spun it again, and lo and behold, it came up Brooklyn. What, 15 people were shot at a subway station in Brooklyn today? Yeah. And at last check, the gunman was still at large. That's the last I saw on it. Of course, it did occasion a Titanic intellect outbreak from none other than Little Miss Three Names, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball. Because, of course, it did. Yeah, 16 New Yorkers were wounded, 10 of them with gunshots, 5 are in critical condition. This, of course, precipitated, and it happened inside a train car. That's like shooting inside a sardine can. And so Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball said, "With New York strict gun control laws, how many innocent people were carrying a gun when the bad guy with a gun broke the existing laws and started shooting people? Bad guys don't care about gun control, and gun control only stops people from being able to protect themselves." You gotta wonder if Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball has ever even been in a subway car. Because it's a fairly crowded space, and if an idiot opens up, having a bunch of other idiots open up too, it doesn't take long to realize that that it would make the situation far worse than it was to begin with. Of course, Ron in Raleigh has a good point. As far as the everybody carry a gun. Law going into effect next week in Georgia. I got a better name, says Ron. How about we call this abomination the Let's Kill Us Some Black Folks Bill, or the Philando Castile Bill, or, dare I say it, the Ahmaud Arbery Bill? You know, Ahmaud Arbery'd probably be alive today if he'd have been a packing heat. Ron says, I don't know about you, Robin, but more strapped white folks gives me no comfort. I understand, but let's consider this from a practical standpoint, Ron. All this is going to do is cut down on crime in Georgia. Wait, what? Sure. Up until this Tuesday, if you get caught strapped without a permit in Georgia, well, that just means that you've committed a crime, and you've got all those law enforcement hours of filing all that paperwork and filing all them charges and taking them pictures and them prints and dealing with the weapon seizure and all of that shit. And that takes law enforcement time away from the important work that they do. Oh, wait. But you get the idea. People in Georgia are packing heat without a permit anyway. Yeah, right. So one of the more interesting aspects of this is, what does this mean for somebody who maybe drives down from Chattanooga, Tennessee, Tennistan, and say wants to go to a Braves game down in Hotlanta, and packs their pistol all the way from Tennistan down into Georgia? Does that mean the Tennistanian who is packing concealed is no longer chargeable under some Looney Tunes interpretation of the Second Amendment and the Interstate Commerce Clause or the Emoluments Clause or whatever they're coming up with from the jurisprudential chop shops up in the Ivy League? I sincerely don't know. Stand by. Yeah, the pilot of the Japanese Zero, the Mitsubishi Zero, that was buzzing the house, just popped by to apologize, and I told him there was no apology necessary. I appreciated the help. But anyway, back to the I don't know the answer to that question. Eventually, of course, it is the goal of outfits like Gun Humpers of America and the National Rifle Association, to have everybody in this country armed to the teeth and ready to shoot it out like the OK Corral, or as we say around here in West Virginia, shoot it out like Matewan at the drop of a damn hat. And CNN had footage from the inside of the train car where the shooting took place today. It was harrowing, to say the least.
Video you were able to shoot, we're going to play that now. Here it is.
Oh, my goodness.
The train car is full of gun smoke.
Now, Yav, we're seeing people there covering their mouths, smoke in the car. As the car is moving, how soon after the shooting was this?
This video took place after all of the popping and shooting, and the train, like, I remember I said the train was delayed between 36th Street and the local stop. This was when the train started moving to approach the station. So, and the thing is, I don't think there was anybody who was focused on recording what was happening. Because while I was crouched down behind the wooden part by the door, there was a gentleman also next to me who said to put my phone away just in case some craziness happened. That's why the video is only 10 seconds long. I just wanted to get a video of the chaos that was happening in there. And the gentleman next to me said, put your phone away because you don't know what could happen. So I put my phone away and I just focused on trying to get out as safely as I could.
It really is something to hear you tell now two stories of passengers trying to help each other, whether it's the woman who gave you pepper spray or the man sitting next to you telling you to put the phone away because he was frightened that it would be too dangerous. We see people covering their mouths and eyes from the smoke. I'm just curious, did it have any impact on you? Did it hurt your eyes? Was there any coughing?
Really?
Or yeah. Was it just, yeah, give us some more information on that.
Well, I'm asthmatic, so this was not an ideal situation for me. There was a lot of coughing and breathing. The same gentleman that was next to me, he was telling people to take slow breaths to try to calm them down. There were some people in our close area that were listening, but more or less there was people just panicking, focusing on getting out, trying to push themselves out. But like I said earlier, my mask was black with smoke, both sides. It was like, I can't even, it's trash. The mask was trash. It can't use it anymore. That's how sick the smoke was. Couldn't see anything. Eyes were burning. It was terrible.
Yeah. I mean, smoke is something that happens when one fires a firearm. Generally speaking, and Randy Radar, the previous shooting from a few days ago was the Bronx. This was Brooklyn. Or no, the previous shooting a few days ago was Queens. This was Brooklyn. Well, Steve in New York will probably set me straight, but today was Brooklyn. And one of the fascinating things about this is that later on, they said that law enforcement authorities were looking for a man, of course, in a safety vest. So what I'm wondering here, and it wasn't clear from the reportage, was the shooter still on the train? Because it's very clearly moving. And if he wasn't, how did he get off the train? And I have no good answer. But Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cuball does. She thinks that that train, which was packed, I mean, I mentioned a sardine can. Well, it was sardine can packed. That in all that smoke and all that chaos and all that terror, somehow the situation would have been made better if more people had been shooting more guns, sending more bullets bouncing around inside the compartment, or more particularly bouncing around or going through and, you know, human flesh. Because generally speaking, if you take into account the muzzle velocity of a 9mm pistol. Muzzle velocity on a 9mm pistol is quite often north of 1,200 feet per second. And that's what makes it what a physician once described to me as a hole punch. And it goes through one thing and then goes through another thing and goes through, right. That's why you don't want to use a pistol for so-called home defense, because it can easily pierce walls. As, for instance, Brett Hankinson, the brave, bold, manly, macho Louisville police officer who wasted Breonna Taylor, found out when a few of his bullets went stray and went through the apartment walls into the next apartment. He was charged with recklessly endangering the people in the next apartment. But hell, the jury let him walk on that, because, I mean, he probably didn't know that. I mean, how could he possibly be expected to know something like that? No, it was not a motorboat that was running in the background either, Brother Deacon Asa. Four different types of aircraft. Brother Deacon thought it was a motorboat. It was one of them cigarette boats like they use down in Miami. Lord. But you know what? I'm going to take a peep out the horn color weather window for a second.
This would be really cool if it was video.
I can smell the freshly mown grass, and my eyes are already beginning to water. Yay! Ron in Raleigh says, I've been thinking about this. You know how since mankind climbed down and started to walk upright, we've had different ages, i.e. the Iron Age, the Bronze Age, the Dark Ages, Middle Ages. I've decided that we're living in the Dunning-Kruger Ages. It seems that Republicans intend to elect every dumbass with an R after his name, Russ Feingold with Ron Johnson, Doug Jones with Tommy the Tuber, possibly Raphael Warnock with dumb as a bag of hair Herschel Walker. Just look at the House, and you couldn't find a bigger group of drooling homunculi as the Republican membership. So, Robin, what do you think? The Dunning-Kruger ages. Well, you know, I've seen the Anthropocene, the Holocene. Let's see if we can work with the scene thing. The Demoscene, the Dunning-Krugerocene. Yeah, the age of people who don't know what they don't know. And I've got some happy news here as we move toward the top of the hour. We have an anonymous challenge on the table. It's the When Gun Humpers Choose, You Lose challenge. Our anonymous friend will double any group of contributions up to $150. So it's 2-for-1. And that would result in wiping out last Wednesday and getting started on Thursday, taking a big bite out of Thursday. Actually, that would take a bite out of Wednesday, and that would eliminate Wednesday and knock out Thursday too, I think, at this point. So if there are 15 people with $10, or 10 people with $15, or 30 people with $7.50, we could solve that problem quickly and be well on the way to, because, I mean, there won't be a fundraising goal for tomorrow, because obviously I'm not here, so I don't fundraise on shows that I don't do. So this would be a great way to take a bite out of the deficit. Thank you to our anonymous friend. When gun humpers choose, you lose. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. But now, finally, back to the story that I intended to start the program with, because it's such a damn delight. A few minutes ago, I mentioned a hypothetical wherein, say, a gun humper from Tennessee wants to go see a Braves game down in Hotlanta. So he gets on I-75 and toddles on down to Atlanta and goes and takes in a game. And I don't know if they do they have metal detectors there, magnetometers, whatnot. Would a ghost gun get through anyway? Well, some of that may be entirely academic, because of 3X Marsha. Senator 3X, the really senior senator from Tennistan. What a world, what a world, what a world, what a world. Now, you have to take into account the fact that these members of Congress, they don't operate on a shoestring budget. And so in the modern era, most of them have a social media legislative assistant or a social media aide of some sort. So that they can say, hey, I need you to send out a tweet about how we need to build the wall. It's just a hypothetical. Well, no, it's not, because that's exactly what happened in the case of Marsha. Goodness, Blackburn. Today, she tweeted, and I'm reading this aloud. These are the exact words that she tweeted. Get the hockey puck. This is pure Titanic Tuesday delight. Marsha tweeted earlier today, to the delight of tweeters everywhere. Tennesseans want a wall on our southern border. Now, we do know what the southern border of Tennessee is, right? The southern border of Tennessee is Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia-stan, and maybe a little bitty just titwillow of North Carolina. I mean, just because Mercator projection, right? So people took her at her word. She wants to build a big, beautiful wall all across the southern border of Tennessee, which, by the way, is nowhere near Mexico. And it reminds me, oddly enough, because of my weird brain. There's one of my favorite songs by the Drive-By Truckers is intensely local to the place I grew up and where they grew up, some of them, Northwest Alabama. And back in the before times, I grew up in what was called, we've talked about this before, a dry county. That meant you could not buy wine, you could not buy beer, you could not buy liquor of any sort. The only alcohol for sale in those counties back in the day was rubbing alcohol. And there were people. But we were precisely 11 miles from the Tennistan state line. No, I'm not kidding you, Arnold. I read it for you again. Tennesseans want a wall on our southern border. It was 11 miles from my hometown to the Tennessee state line, and there was a booming business at the Tennessee state line for beer. A little bit of wine. Not much. You know, your Thunderbird, your Mad Dog, your Boone's Farm, your Annie Green Springs. But mostly beer. Every two or three weeks, my dad would pile, my mother and I would get in the car and we'd all drive up to Tennessee and he'd get a few cases of Sterling Big Mouths to bring back home and store in the utility room off the back porch and keep a six pack or so, because, you know, it was like the children of Israel having to gather extra manna before the Sabbath, because they couldn't be gathering manna on the Sabbath. So you'd buy four or five, six cases of beer, and would have paid a hefty fine had he been caught. But I think the fact that Mom and I were in the car with him, kind of provided a plausible reason not to pull him over, and he always observed the speed limit. There was an entire culture of how to go to Tennessee to buy beer and bring it back and not get it stolen from you by the cops. And so up in that general area, there's a, because this actually has a point, there's a little community called Zip City, Alabama. And in that song, that Drive-By Trucker song, the lyric is by Mike Cooley that I love so well, the name of the song is Zip City. And it's, there's a line, Zip City, it's a good thing they built a wall around you. Zip right up to Tennessee and zip right down to Alabama. Well, no more if Senator Marsha Blackburn gets her way. Because by God, and that's gonna be a hell of, I mean, it's not gonna be the Great Wall of China or anything. But it'll be longer than Hadrian's Wall, pretty sure. The widths of Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, and a wee little tiny skosh maybe of North Carolina, because Mercator projections. Kevin Cruz, who is a brilliant historian and has quite a reputation on Twitter, said, given the sheer amount of stupidity Republicans are pushing on the state, I'm surprised Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia haven't already built one there themselves. Well, given half an opportunity, I'm sure Alabama, she's going to talk about it again, would like to build a wall to, you know, keep the Tran out of Alabama, as if it was coming from somewhere else. But, yeah, Tennesseans want a wall on our southern border. And what, I guess Alabama, Tennessee, or Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia are going to pay for it? I guess technically North Carolina's not involved, because they run parallel with Tennessee, but I was thinking about the way that the western terminus of West Virginia and Virginia, but no, it's just Mississippi and Alabama and Georgia. I don't know how Missouri and Arkansas got off so lucky, but that's the western border. Marsha. Richard Signorelli said, this is actually a real problem since the three separately governed countries of Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia bordering Tennessee on the south each have their own unique immigration policies. Wall seems best. And there's always somebody who thinks that one of these maggots is actually punking us along the lines of Andy Kaufman. No, she really is that stupid. What, says Ron and Raleigh, no Boar's Head Apple or Ripple, Philistines? Nah, Ripple might have been there. Boar's Head Apple? I thought that was a fairly recent vintage. No, I'm thinking of Boar's Head Cold Cuts. Never mind. Oh, and thank you, Darlene and Connect, to get an update on the shooting in Brooklyn. Police locate U-Haul van linked to shooter, bomb squad on the way, gunman remains on the loose, which makes all the more fascinating the story that I saw earlier and read it twice to make sure that I wasn't screwing up. According to Agence France-Presse, Brooklyn subway shooting not being investigated as an act of terrorism. Then why is the bomb squad being sent to his van? His van, of course. And further details. Someone expected all the smoke from the gunfire. because the shooter was wearing a gas mask. Gee, who has a gas mask just lying about? NYPD Commissioner Keechant Sewell said that the shooter lawful gun owner put on a gas mask just as the train was arriving at the 36th Street station. Oh, he brought his own smoke bomb. He then opened the canister that was in his bag, and then the car filled with smoke. After that, he began shooting. He has subsequently been identified as a lone male black, approximately 5 feet 5 inches tall, with a heavy build, wearing a green construction-type vest and a gray hooded sweatshirt. By green, they mean the high-visibility safety green. And that sounds awfully planned. The guy that you heard earlier describing the 10 seconds of footage that he shot said, in the moment, I did not think it was a shooting because it sounded like fireworks. It just sounded like a bunch of scattered popping. And there were 40 to 50 passengers in the train car. And it's those 40 to 50 people that Little Miss Three Names think would have been far better off if they had all pulled firearms out and began randomly shooting at each other. The same individual speaking to CNN, Yav Montano, said people in the train car began trying to get to the exit door to go into the next car. There were people in that other car that saw what was happening, and they tried to open the door, but they couldn't. There were people, some of whose clothes, whose pants were covered in blood. All I know is I saw, like, a lot of blood. But it's not being investigated as an act of terrorism. And see, this is where it becomes, I think, at least instructive to understand how the... Well, remember the 1964 essay by Richard Hofstadter that we have referenced so many times on this show? The paranoid style in American politics? He did not know how much truth he was writing back then. Because it's only gotten more so. More paranoid. So if you take, for instance, the fact that yesterday, as Lady B alluded to, Joe Biden made a speech about ghost guns. Then today this happens. Well, if you're, Alex Jones, or any of a million other wild-eyed maniac gun freaks in this country, you see that and you say, "See, that's what they done. They done put in their ghost gun ban because they want to take away all the guns from all of America's freedom-loving, peaceful patriots who love Jesus." And then the next day they stage a false flag shooting with a bunch of crisis actors. And boom, there it is. And again, it goes around the world before the truth can get its shoes on. Because the key here is the paranoia. The absolute certainty that, yeah, sure, the government would do something like that. I mean, they faked the moon landing, didn't they? They faked 9/11, didn't they? There wasn't any airliner going into the Pentagon. Look at the footage. Where's the airliner? And in many ways, it all springs out of the conspiracy that resulted in the murder of Abraham Lincoln. And 100 years later, the murder or 98 years later, the murder of John Kennedy. And so everything becomes subject to disbelief. God. Thank you so kindly to Charlene in Rogues Island. Charlene got us started on the anonymous When Gun Humpers Choose, You Lose challenge. That means there's $130 more to go on that. It would be a, to quote the former Vice President Joe Biden, a big damn deal, actually a big effing deal, if we could meet that challenge. So thank you, Charlene, for getting us started. A black mass shooter, Ron in Raleigh says, well, I'll be dipped. I guess he figured he couldn't let the white guys have all the fun. Oh, I didn't know. In case you didn't know, Sam Cedar's down with the COVID. Get well soon, Sam. Get well soon. Nothing to fool with. Annette and I were talking earlier today, and I think we're going to try to get our boosters on Thursday. So when I go down to the campus of Marshall University tomorrow, I'll be wearing a mask. Because big primate brain. Damn right. That must be the microwave beeping. I got to soundproof this studio one of these days. Let's run over and check in with Scott and see what's going on. Hey, Scott.
Let's see if I got this right. And we're going to Zip City because it's 2-1. You know, we're going to Zip City, going to have some fun. No, wait a minute. That can't be right.
No, that's wrong lyric.
Ah, damn it.
This one has something to do with that blood red carpet at the Salem Church of Christ.
All right. As a public service, you have got to stop quoting Marcia 3X. And when did she convert to Islam? I must have missed the press release on that. Girl's got three.
Oh, my God. Marcia X.
Marcia
3X.
Jesus. For years, and I didn't hear it until Red Fox told it years later. He said, I didn't know Francis X. Bushman was a Muslim. Anyway.
Oh, no.
You had to have been there. You've got to stop quoting her or playing audio of her saying stupid shit. Because when you do that, that kills healthy brain cells.
It does.
It really, really does.
Faster than a wood alcohol martini.
I was dumber yet smarter before I started listening to this show. Because some of these damn fools, I have had more intelligent conversations with the freshly spun product on the paper cone out of a cotton candy machine. You know, I mean, you can get a higher IQ reading from a confection at the carnival than you can get from these idiots. No offense to real idiots out there, but you get what I mean. It tangles my undies into a Gordian knot, and I don't like it because it hurts when I sit. So let's put a lid on that, okay? Jesus.
Yeah, and rivet it shut.
One of those Houdini escapes, the famous milk can escape that Houdini used to do. Lock that sucker in and chew the band, because if he's not out in 30 seconds, that boy's dead. Anyway, I know how they did the milk can escape, by the way.
Do you?
I do, because I as a kid...
False bottom?
No, I can't tell because magicians aren't supposed to tell.
Oh, you're retired, and they yanked your card a long time ago.
Yeah, well, they yanked my rabbit. They bent my wand.
Now that just sounds filthy.
That's what happens when magicians retire. They break their wand. I think that's true. Now that I think.
And pull their rabbit.
That's right. Hey, Rocky. Anyway.
Again.
Yeah, this trick never works. Nothing up my sleeve. Oops, wrong hat. hey, Rocky. Forgot the voice.
You do?
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Again?
No, actually, well, I guess I can tell it. The trick's
welcome, welcome, here. Welcome, children, to two old people talking about cartoons you've never even heard of.
The trick of it is the rivets around the ring of the narrow part of the top of the milk can. Well, now we got to explain what milk cans are.
Oh, God.
Boys and girls, when Farmer Smith takes his ice-cold hands and applies them to Elsie's udders and gets the buckets of milk, he pours it into a milk can so it can be sent to the dairy for pasteurization. Hence, that's what a milk can is. Well, Houdini, who's another name from the past, was a magician in the early part of the 20th century who did escapes. And one of his famous tricks was
the milk can.
They'd fill a milk can full of water and put him in there and put the lid on and then padlock it and then bring the curtain down and the band would play exciting, tension-filled music. And within 30 seconds, he'd come out of the curtains dripping wet. Well, as I recall, it had something to do with false rivets around the circumference of the lid, not the lid, but the upper part of the milk can. And it was a simple matter of getting your arm up, pushing up, getting someone to help you out of the milk can, put the lid back on, and then the curtains would open back up. So, and don't try this at home, kids, because it's very dangerous. And don't fill the milk can with beer, especially if you're not a drinker.
Ah, death, where is thy sting? Ah, grave, where is thy...
Seriously, in Milwaukee, the program, one of the sponsors of the program, the stage show, was a brewery. And to placate them, they filled the milk can with beer. Well, Houdini was not a drinker, and he was almost overcome by the fumes of the beer within the confines of the milk can. How do I know this yet? Robin, stop me. Come on. I didn't.
I live for this.
All right. Well, that's your cross to bear. And speaking of crosses to bear, I watched a year 2000, I think, documentary about Fred Phelps and the Westboro Baptist Church.
Okay, hold that for a minute because I have to interrupt.
Okay, go ahead.
We have breaking comedy. That's for Todd, who, upon hearing you ask when Marsha Blackburn converted to Islam, Todd responded, like Lionel Richie, once, twice, three times a Muslim.
I wish I'd have said that.
Now, we're not having fun at the expense of Islam. We are not.
We're not.
We're having fun at the expense of Marsha Blackburn.
And that's the best kind of fun.
Oh, God.
I mean, she already makes herself look foolish. Why not pile on? I said.
Does she? Yeah, right. The eternal question is: does she work at it?
No, this is the thing. She's what you call in baseball parlance a natural. You know.
She's an idiot savant with the emphasis on the idiot.
That's right. And I've got a question. This is background stuff regarding the Horn Studio. Are you running a still in your studio, Robin? Because I keep hearing this faint dripping sound, and I'm wondering if you're running.
Busted.
Off.
How do you think we supplement the operating expenses when we lay goose eggs day after day after day?
Never mind these high gasoline prices. We're brewing our own, distilling our own. Jesus, I was just wondering. Don't tell me what it is, because with your surgical things, I'm almost a wanna know.
It ain't me. Now quit it. It's the still.
The night.
The worm for it is the copper tubing from a 1934 Packard.
I can see it in my mind's eye. Off to the left. Now, do you put it in jugs? And I don't mean to get anatomical here, but do you put it in those ceramic jugs.
Well, I was going to say that's a little inefficient because I'm still waiting on mine.
For your rheumatism medicine.
We use pint mason jars.
All right. Well, you're a modern.
With a little, you know, with just a little tiny drop of lighter fluid, you know, Ronson lighter fluid in the bottom for flavor.
Oh yeah, you got to do that. You got to do that.
And Christopher in Oregon wrote in, subject line: Scott's cotton candy idiots. To give you an idea of where this country is from an IQ standpoint, Herschel, she had it coming, Walker, is up in the polls on Reverend Warnock. If aliens came down and said, take us to your leader, the maggot brains would take them to Marjorie Q. Ball Sporkfoot. And I think that... Really? Herschel is up on the Reverend?
Christopher,
please write and say I was just fooling you. I was just playing. There's no universe in which Herschel Walker, who thought that Representative John Lewis was in the Senate, could possibly be up in the poll. Oh my God!
Want to bet? I'll bet you that's absolutely true.
No, I will not take the bet. I cannot afford it.
But it's not bad enough that America is the dumbest country in the world in some regards. Now it's the galaxy. We're going to bring the Martians into it. You know, ruin our reputation galactically. It's heartbreaking, Robin. I'm being serious here. That this is the best that Tennessee can do? Obviously not. I mean...
But the election proves that it is true.
I know. That's the pity of it.
America's favorite home ec grad.
That's
troubling to me, Scott.
Oh no.
She's got a bachelor's degree in home economics. What do you want to bet? It's a bachelor's of science in home economics from Mississippi State University there in Starkville.
Now, is that the school where you have to draw the picture of Winky as part of your application?
Or
the pirate?
Draw the pirate, yes. You have to draw Spunky if you want the master's degree.
I really want
to be a better person. I'm trying hard. And so, you know, she went to college. She got into Mississippi State. She apparently did the work that gets you a degree from Mississippi State. I know people who have degrees from Mississippi State, and they're, by and large, quite intelligent. And the distinction could not have been more glaring than it was during the confirmation hearings of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. You got a woman with a law degree from Harvard being asked to define what a woman is by a woman from Mississippi State who got a degree in home ec. And part of me really wants to just wear her out for that home ec degree. But at the same time, I have to remember that I'm a woman from Harvard on the Mon who got a degree in English. But it's at least English. But I'll bet she could whip my ass when it came time to bake up a muffin.
Sorry.
No, I'm struggling here, Scott. I don't want to seem like some sort of elitist snob. But
well, you're not, because seriously speaking, if you were in her place, if you had been a senator from Tennessee sitting on the Judiciary Committee, I have no doubt that your questions would have been 150% more reasonable and reasoned and substantive than anything that she or her writers...
And probably would have involved Shakespeare.
Well, maybe. But you know, given you, I was thinking more along the lines of given your legal background, you would have posed questions to the nominee that had to do with the law, not some Republican talking point about supposed flaws in the law or our judicial system.
Well, yeah, and I'm trying to be cognizant of potential instances of, you know, sexism.
Wait a minute. Is it true? Hey, Ferg! My God, how did...
Got all the way to San Diego!
He must have... Time travel must be real.
Well, he has, you know, he is the Kwisatz Haderach. He may have just folded space and said to hell with it.
Let me fix him a glass iced tea because he's going to be hot after all that mowing today. But I'm sorry, you were making a serious point.
No, I'm trying to be cognizant of instances of sexism, but the fact of the matter is, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, bragged about the fact that he was in law school at Harvard at the same time Ketanji Brown Jackson was, and he always, I always thought she was really nice and friendly and she cleans up real good. She cleaned too. Jesus. Tracy dropped that one on me the other day and it just about ruined me.
I remember that.
But he got his fair share of shit, deservedly so, for reading at her from a children's book about trying to raise children not to be little goddamn racists.
This was Cruz? That's right.
Yeah.
Now, what happened to Green Eggs and Ham? Has he?
Well, he's moved on.
He's up a grade level or what? Or down a grade level?
Actually, I think he's down a grade. Because, you know, you got to... With the children of certain parents, you have to start early to kind of get the racism out of them.
I hope Biden has at least one or two more nominees in the stack, because before it's over, he's going to be doing connect the dots, you know, or color forms.
If Joe Biden were to get two more nominees, Rafaelito would be down to just flinging Zwiebacks at people. Or overturning his little bowl of dry Cheerios.
But it's just the very thought of someone vastly superior intellectually and as a human being, I might add, being grilled by the likes of these twerps.
Or, it's, you know, that little shit for brains, Josh Hawley from Missouri.
Hawley.
You know, the guy who urged on the insurrectionists to continue their attack on the Capitol as if he was, I don't know, waving the boys in butternut up Cemetery Ridge. God. Oh, thanks. Hey, thanks to Kevin and Tracy up in Massachusetts. We're now down to only $100 to go on the 2-for-1 when Gun Humpers Choose You Lose challenge. Thank you for the challenge, and thank you for jumping in on it. 10 more people at $10. We got a little over an hour and a half. We could do this. This could happen. By the way, Jeremy says, blame this on Scott. So getting back to the secret still business he's busted you on, you could always bottle this beverage in good old jugs, sell them in pairs, and call it Robin's Rack Pack. Oh, God! Shut up!
And when the booze is gone, you can make music. You can't have a jug band without jugs. Think about it.
Well, this is kind of new. But, you know, it's challenging enough, and, well, I'm enjoying it, so here we go. Jeremy. Arnold said, it ain't me. I'm not the dripping one.
I had a car that used to do that. It'd leave these mysterious stains underneath, you know, on not the blacktop, but the concrete driveway.
Let's see. Christopher followed up on the Georgia poll. There it is. Herschel Walker leads Warnock in Georgia Senate race.
Oh, well, that reminds me. Wait a minute. Take a breath. I have Showtime.
Letting go now. Letting go now.
And I watch The Circus. I don't think you have Showtime, but it's that one with John Heilman and the guy with the cowboy hat and a couple of other people. And they talk politics for a half hour on Showtime every week. And this past week, it was about the current polling vis-a-vis the Democrats' chance in the midterms. And I'm hearing two different stories. Some say, yeah, it's going to be fine. It'll be hard work, but it'll still end up fine. And some are just doomers and gloomers all over the place. But it just, and then now you bring Georgia into it. And the likes of Reverend Warnock being outpolled, who are they asking? Have you ever been a part of a poll at that level? I mean, for
I never got anything more consequential than Coke versus Pepsi.
What did you pick?
Oh, Coke.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Well, yeah, but you know, back in the mid-80s, it was all, see, you can't tell the difference between New Coke and Pepsi. I can't.
You know, they...
Neither one of them Coke.
I couldn't, actually. When they did the Pepsi...
The blind taste test?
The Pepsi challenge, it was at the Missouri State Fair the year that Reagan addressed the crowd in the arena, whatever year that was. And I couldn't tell the difference. Of course, now I was a smoker back then, and they say that affects your ability to taste things properly. But I am, you know, for years I was a Coke person, but I'm more of a Pepsi person now.
Well, they've tried so hard to drive me into the tender mercies of Pepsi, because Pepsi will happily, occasionally, drop a 12-pack of caffeine-free Diet Pepsi at the Wiggling Pig. But you can't get a 12-pack of caffeine-free Coke Zero. Oh, hell no. Which actually tastes shockingly like Coca-Cola.
What do they use as a sweetener?
Oh, we've been down this road. It's
okay.
Yeah, it's aspartame. Yeah. But no, seriously, this is from The Hill. It was a poll commissioned by The Hill with Emerson College. And 49% of voters back Herschel Walker to 45% for Raphael Warnock, and that's a point outside the 3% margin of error.
So 49 to 45.
Yeah.
So 6%.
That's your Klan vote right there. That's your Klan vote. Your Nazi vote. Your skinhead vote.
If my math is correct, 6% are scratching their heads, still wondering what to do. Did I add that up right? 45 and 49?
Yeah, 6%. Yeah.
Yeah. What's wrong with those people?
It's kind of like eating lead paint chips. I mean, you pick your teeth with your toenail clippings, and bad things happen.
I'm gonna take a drink of.
I'm just
Pepsi.
You know, I'm praying.
Coffee.
And I don't pray. But damn you, Ron and Raleigh, them spike jugs. Very real these days. Please, sweet fake baby Jesus, let there be a debate between these two. But again, I think Steve from Georgia Stan is still in the chat room. When's y'all's primary? Because that's actually kind of important here. Because neither one of these candidates are the nominee until Georgia's primary is over. And there are more credible candidates in Georgia on the Republican side, and let's not make too much out of the word credible. But um, Herschel Walker is, of course, the endorsed maggot candidate.
Yeah.
And it goes to show it doesn't matter if he pistol whipped his wife or threatened to blow her brains out or beat the hell out of her or any of the numerous allegations she made against him. The maggots, the same gang that nudged and winked at the idea of Trump himself sexually assaulting random women.
May 24th, and the runoff is June 21st.
I'm guessing there, well, maybe there'll be, I don't know, maybe there'll be a Republican runoff, because this question only asked Warnock versus Walker. But there are...
Wait a minute, this is a state, the dates I gave were statewide. Well, I guess they could do congressional runoff primaries under a statewide auspices in the various districts if they have primaries.
Well, I mean, it is statewide. I mean, this is the Senate.
Oh, that's for the Senate. I'm sorry. I was thinking Congress.
But the primary will be this. The primary in the House will be the same day.
So according to Ballotpedia, I think it is, statewide in Georgia, the 22 primary is May 24th, and if there's a runoff needed, it's June 21st.
And so I'm guessing, at least, well, okay, hoping that Raphael Warnock won't have to deal with a runoff. Depending on the field, in the Republican side, Herschel may have to.
Well, yeah, a currently sitting Democratic senator, I doubt very, most people down there like Reverend Warnock. I do. And I'm not even there. It's the Republicans that, it's something like, don't you people have hobbies? Which
one? Well, and remember, it's one of those, unless I'm mistaken, it's one of those screwball open primary states, Scott. Which means if you're a Republican, you can vote in the Democratic primary. If you're a Democrat, you can vote in the Republican primary. You can't vote in both primaries, but if you really want to screw, if you really want to screw with the other party, you can go and vote in their primary.
Yeah, see, I don't believe in open primaries.
I don't either.
I'm a purist when it comes to that stuff. The only time I ever took part in a Republican primary was in 2000 when I still lived in Ohio, and I actually voted for McCain in the primary just to try to keep my little effort to keep Bush off of the, from becoming the nominee, which didn't, it apparently my little scheme didn't work, you know, because we know how that played out.
Well, the coming Ohio primary is a real circus too, because you've got Josh Mandel fighting it out tooth and nail against the fake hillbilly J.D. Vance.
What is he running for?
Senate to fill to be the Republican nominee to fill Rob Portman's seat.
Oh man!
And J.D. Vance just got the coveted Ohioans for Life endorsement. Of course, he got an endorsement from Nitwit Nero, too.
I would sooner vote for J.D. Sumner, the dead gospel singer, the one with the real deep, I believe that
And the stamps.
I would sooner vote for J.D. Sumner than I would for J.D. Vance. And that should tell you something.
Yeah.
A long-deceased gospel singer is preferable to a living schlockmaster in terms of the writing that he does. And didn't that book win some kind of award?
No, I can't.
I just...
And if Annette hears me through the wall, she's going to get all mad again, because all you have to do is say J.D. Vance within three area codes of her, and she becomes just absolutely incensed.
Okay, ixnay on the ants, babe, because I don't want Annette getting mad at you or me.
Exactly.
Okay?
And by the way, Kevin in Massachusetts points out, you know, it's getting to be more about who they're voting against rather than who they're voting for, the maggots. As long as it's not a Democrat, they'll vote for anyone. Not to mention the 36 QAnon candidates running for Congress this year. 36.
Yeah, yeah.
And their odds are probably better than we would like to even dare think about, you know, because nightmares.
And I, you know, I heard them talking about, or they're talking about it less than they were 6 months ago. They were talking about Trump's supposed coattails, but I'm beginning to think that he's not even going to be a factor in most places. They've got their own little thing going. You know, he's kind of shown them the way to do the crazy. You know, he sort of was the voice crying in the wilderness, not to compare him to John the Baptist or any of these folks to Jesus, but you get the analogy. You know, he kind of showed them that that works. And even if he's sitting in a jail cell someday, I hope to God, they know how the scheme works, and they certainly have their fucking dark money people and their stupid language consultants. What's that guy's name? The turgid bird. What is that guy's name? The one that always comes up with the words.
No, Frank Luntz.
Frank Luntz. Yeah. Frank Luntz, that piece of work. You know, and they've got it down to a science, and then you add the gerrymandering, and then you add the dark money and all the fucking ads, and nobody gets to know who paid for the ads except for some stupid political corporate name that always has to have family in it or freedom in it.
Family, you know, freedom.
Or family freedom. Or freedom family. Or free families being free on account of freedom.
Free you families know, being dumb.
It's just the politics as practiced in this country, it's a wonder anything gets done, or it's not surprising that so little gets done. I was talking to my friend, whose name escapes me, and I've known her since high school. But I was talking to my friend Tom in Virginia, in the D.C. area. Hadn't talked to him for about 4 years, and I decided to give him a call the other day. And we were talking about politics, and I said, "It is a sin and a shame the way that." Politics, which used to be a fairly, I mean, public service used to be a somewhat noble calling, because you had people who were capable and knew something going into office for a limited number of years and actually getting shit that needed doing accomplished. Well, where did that idea go? Now it's all about enriching your already obscenely wealthy cronies, or cutting back on rights and things for people who have been downtrodden for decades, eons, whatever. And it's like, no wonder people don't, 50% of the people don't even bother to vote. There's no upside to it the way it's currently done.
Well, as Ron and Raleigh put it, I repeat, dumb as a bag of hair and drooling homunculi. Now tell me we're not living in the age of Dunning-Kruger. Stupid is a selling point. I remember when I was coming up, stupid people resented smarter people. You think you're smarter than me. I'm sure you heard this in your youth. Don't forget Josh Mandel and his schooling of Bernice King. Oh, God. Oh, God. No, I can't. Can't. Won't. Can't make me. And Christopher adds, bad JDs. I'd much rather vote for JD Salinger with his running mate Holden Caulfield than JD Vance. Can we dig up and reanimate JD Rockefeller?
Oh, God. Here we go.
Wait. JD Clampett, even though he was imaginary.
That's right. We're on a JD. It's all JD all the time here on JD Radio. come on down, bring the kids. We got hot dogs and balloons.
Hot dogs and balloons, damn it.
Friends and pony rides for the little ones.
Lot going on down here.
But do you get the drift?
No, I do. I do.
It's maddening for those of us who know the enough of the history. And it wasn't, it's never been perfect, but it has been way less dysfunctional and crazy making than it's been in the last 30 or 40 years. And it seems every new cycle, it gets worse. Hence the Gordian knots in a lot of undergarments.
Well, true, but we do have to keep things in perspective. And what I mean by that is, it was way over 100 years ago, more than 125 years ago, when Mark Twain famously remarked, "Assume you were a member of Congress, and assume you were an idiot, but I repeat myself."
Yeah. Yeah. And his other line that is absolutely true, there's no distinctively a criminal class in America save Congress. I think is how that went.
Yeah, and by the way, Suman writes in from Arizona. Subject line, Hillbilly Elegy. "I read this stupid book twice because the New York Times and Post ranted and raved about it. It was supposed to tell me exactly why the orange disgustus, he of small hands, won against Hillary. I didn't learn a damn thing. As if the first half wasn't a piece of crap, J.D. throws in the tiger idiot mom, she who put her little daughter out in the freezing cold because she wouldn't play the piano, and the book turns into a disaster. At the time, I even asked my wife to read it, thinking that maybe she could make more sense out of it. She had the good sense not to go beyond two chapters. I'm glad I'm not the only one feeling this way." Oh, there are, I don't think I'm kidding. I think maybe there's been a couple of PhD dissertations written just laying out chapter and verse how wrong J.D. Vance is. Because all of, it was nothing more than the same old, tired old, worn out Appalachia hillbillies is so dumb shtick that the New York Times first perfected all the way back during the Hatfield-McCoy feud. Yeah. And I'm not kidding in that regard. Nobody paid much attention to us because Appalachia was pretty much like everywhere else until the Hatfields and McCoys. And the next thing you know, there were reporters wandering around down on the Tug Fork River, sending back breathless dispatches about the feud. And they loved it because it kind of had, it had overtones of a bygone era, and you know, the civilized world had gotten beyond that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then coal comes along, and because of coal, Central Appalachia stays rooted in poverty, and the rest of America that used to pretty much look like Appalachia makes progress fall. I mean, there were so many things so much better written than Hillbilly Elegy. I think of my friend Joe Bajant's book, Rainbow Pie. Or even Jim Webb's Born Fighting. They didn't capture the imagination the way that J.D. Vance did, because again, as Suman points out, he promised answers to a question that absolutely bedevils the class of people who know which fork to use with the fucking oysters. And that is the eternal and eternally insulting, why do those people vote against their own interests?
Well, I don't know who his publisher is, but there's a handful of imprints that are like right-wing publishing entities, and they're pretty successful. because, you know, we'll never run out of trees to produce the paper, and their supposed think tanks, and I put that in air quotes, will never run out of propaganda and so-called ideas to foist upon a gullible public. What did Mencken say, lo those many years ago? No one has ever gone broke underestimating the intelligence of the American public, or words to that effect. I mean, and I wish C-SPAN would stop having these authors on Book TV that are pushing this crap. You know, it, and I think they're doing it in cycles. Whenever there's a Democratic president in, they push Republican authors on Book TV.
And then whenever there's a Republican in office, they push Republican authors. Yes, I think it does run in cycles.
Yeah, and I
they push Republican authors.
I thought it was my imagination, but apparently it's not, because if you noticed it, then I must...
Well, no, look, I every time you tune in, look, here's the easy way to work the equation. Every time you tune into C-SPAN, it says, provided to you by America's cable companies, right?
Yeah, cable and satellite.
Yeah, who owns those?
Well, the
billionaires.
Yeah.
And as a consequence... Whose editorial vision is going to drive it?
Well, yeah, if they're paying the freight, they want their message to be part of the package.
Yeah, I mean, and their message is, you know, not what it ain't for us.
Well, it's going to further their interests and their agendas. I mean, come on, we didn't just fall off the turnip trunk. The truck last night. I've never actually seen a turnip truck.
Nor have I.
And I want to, badly.
Put it on the bucket list, Scott.
All right. Well, I need a bucket so I can take my little charcoal pencil and write my list on it.
It is a bucket list. You get a bucket and a Sharpie and you write a list on it.
All right.
Yesterday we opened the program with some high key moranity. You might recall the hissy thrown in Ohio over a book called "It's Okay to Be a Unicorn."
Oh, I was going to chime in on that. Yes, but go ahead. Refresh my memory, because I only heard...
Well, a parent was concerned it might be endorsing the homosexual lifestyle. And so they told the author that he couldn't read the book to the children, even though there's nothing about... It's just about, you know, learning to, like, not hate yourself for five-year-olds. Well, they got a different problem at an elementary school down in Mississippi, Stan. The PTA for the Wool Market Elementary School had a fair. It was a fundraiser because, of course, being Mississippi, they don't adequately have a tax base so that they can buy things that students need, you know, like pencils or paper or Play-Doh or playground equipment.
Right.
So they had this fair, and, you know, it was like the merch table at a festival, or the merch lineup at a festival. Well, a woman who is known as the Flag Lady showed up there at Wool Market Elementary School to sell her wares. And, of course, her wares consisted of, let's see, Blue Lives Matter flags with the Punisher logo on the front. For those of you who don't know what the Punisher is, look it up. And Mississippi for Trump flags and Trump 2024 flags. And best of all, this thing that is now making the rounds, it was seen in Selma, North Carolina this past weekend at the maggot rally there. And Flag Lady at Wool Market Elementary School had her version of it. And it is an American flag where the American flag looks like it's an overlay, and part of it has been pulled back to display the Confederate battle flag underneath.
Now, I'm here's my eternal optimism chiming in. I guess she was out of stock of rainbow flags, the old flag lady.
Yeah, no trans pride flags either.
Hmm. Interesting.
But she also had just a plain old Confederate battle flag.
Well, you got your old school customers at the fair, Robin. Come on, you know that.
Their money spends too. But a woman named Alexis Weathersby, who has a child at the school, said, "Confederate flags don't belong in our schools. It's a symbol of hatred and pain and slavery and trauma. If this was a Nazi flag, it would be a no-brainer." And so then Alexis Weathersby had also spoken to the principal, one Kevin Roberts, and he said, "Well, that vendor was probably a mistake. And in the future, anytime we do something like this, we're going to put all vendors through a screening process to make sure they're all selling Confederate flags." No, he didn't say that. He didn't. That's just no. He did not say that. The public relations specialist for Harrison County, Mississippi School District, Trong Pham Bui, said the flag shouldn't have been at the school, and said that the Harrison County School District, quote, "does not allow political statements of any kind at school events. The issue at Wool Market Elementary was addressed as soon as it was brought to the principal's attention." You think, I mean, you're having a public event at the school, you think maybe the principal might want to walk through, because this is where these stories at first seem kind of superficial. Oh, okay. But can you imagine being the principal of an elementary school and not doing a walkthrough in the gym? You know, he's got his hands behind his back, and he sees a table festooned with Confederate battle flags, and like alarm bells don't start going off in his head.
Well, the only
did you ever hear a good siren, Homer?
The only time that wouldn't happen is if it's people who buy into the notion that it's simply about our culture and our history.
Which kind of calls the judgment of Kevin Roberts into question, doesn't it?
Well, you
the principal?
Think, you know? Or if the flag lady was there the last time they had a fair, she probably sold a butt ton of...
Yeah, we've been selling Confederate flags and Trump flags. It's for the children.
As fast as we can make them, you know?
And looking at the photo that accompanies this, it's not like there was only one. I can count at least three Confederate battle flag manifestations, two Trump flags. How many teachers walked past this? Did the principal, the vice principal, the school custodian, anybody?
Well, you'd like to think that anybody who works at the school, hell, even a cafeteria worker walking by ought to be able to say something. And yeah. That's a concerning thing, that there's no safeguards in terms of that type of stuff going on. Or it could be, like I suspect, that the place is so steeped in that sort of stuff anyway that it doesn't seem like it's out of the ordinary. Maybe I'm being too pessimistic, but I think there's a tinge of realism in there, realistic thinking in there, because, after all, this is today's America. It's, you know, and it's that pernicious impact for the last, what, since the mid-90s the impact of right-wing news and so-called news in this country. And God knows before that, right-wing radio. If you get a steady diet of that for decades on end, it's going to have an effect, because they wouldn't do it if it wasn't having an effect. In the marketplace of ideas, where many shopping carts are empty, okay, but also in the marketplace of marketplaces, there's a mighty dollar to be made in that type of endeavor. You know?
No doubt.
And this is what, you know, bringing it back to the midterms, boys and girls, this is what we're up against. You know?
Right, yeah.
Don't delude yourself. It's going to be an uphill battle to keep things in Democratic hands in the House and the Senate, and also in the various gubernatorial races and the various state offices. I mean, our work is cut out for us.
It may be a hill too tall to climb.
Well, it may be, and that's I don't even want to think about that. I want to think that something can be done, and do everything that I can to see that we keep things on as even a keel as we can in as many places as we can. Otherwise, you know the answer. You already know. We're all screwed, Robin. You know?
Yeah, I know.
I got a quick question. I know that I'm guessing that you didn't watch Rachel Maddow last night.
No.
Well, she got back after being away for like 6 weeks or something, 8 weeks, working on the Agnew film, Bagman. And she mentioned...
That's probably going to be a dandy.
Yes, I enjoyed the podcast. I certainly did enjoy the podcast. But here's the thing that concerns me, and anybody else who watched Rachel last night probably feels along the lines that I do. She mentioned that she had been gone for however long she was gone, and she's going to be doing the show in her regular time slot for the remainder of this month. But starting in May, she's only going to be on once a week on Mondays.
Ah, she's going to the Carson schedule.
I don't like this. I don't like this a bit. Because she, of all the shows on MSNBC, the two that I always watch are Rachel followed by Lawrence O'Donnell. I think those two people, they resonate with me more than the others. And you know how you get into viewing habits and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
They are part of my viewing habits and have been for years. And it just troubles me that she just recently, within the last 6 or 8 months, signed a multi-year contract. And maybe that was part of the contract.
It was. She's going away from... hosting a nightly program.
Well, I feel it's a disservice to her faithful viewers. And I understand that you can get in a rut professionally, and maybe that's part of it. But damn it, she's pretty good at what she does. And it troubles me as a viewer that whoever replaces her is not going to be as good. That's what...
Well, one of the more interesting stories out of that, Scott, I don't know if you saw this, but Keith Olbermann recently said that he had gotten deep into the negotiation process with the MSNBC brass.
Oh, really?
To take that slot.
Well, I'll sign up for that. I liked him when he was on.
But that Rachel intervened and said over her dead body.
Why?
Don't know.
Wasn't she a guest on his show back before she became a regular, or was that on Lawrence's show?
I
forget now which one it was.
No, I think it was Keith, and you know, of course, he also he also propelled Kyrsten Sinema to prominence when she was but a lowly state legislator from Arizona.
I didn't remember.
And that. She was a fire-breathing progressive back then.
Hmm.
Oh, well. Oh, I want to go back to Mississippi for a second.
All right.
Not really. Let's go. Not really.
Let's go.
So we had Flag Lady with her Confederate battle flag. We have a little better understanding maybe why she was there. Because Mississippi Governor Colonel Taint Reeves.
Taint?
Well, it's Tate, but I read it Taint.
Well.
Released
a long line of Taints, don't you know?
You said a mouthful. He sent out a press release declaring the following. April is the month when, in 1861, the American Civil War began between the Confederate and Union armies, reportedly the costliest and deadliest war ever fought on American soil. Well, most of the war was fought on Confederate soil. I mean, they were the ones who had seceded. But, I mean, even that little sentence is fraught with incorrect information. It didn't begin between the Confederate and Union armies. It began when the Confederates attacked the Union, for one.
Fort Sumter.
Yes.
And where was that, boys and girls? That was in South Carolina.
The home of American sedition, abstadamlutely.
Way south of the Mason-Dixon line.
And he went on to say, the systematic destruction of all or a significant part of a racial, ethnic, religious, or national group by destroying a group's political and social institutions, culture, language, national feelings, religion, and economic existence, and destroying the personal security, liberty, health, dignity, and lives of individuals belonging to the group. In other words, he's claiming that the Union committed a genocide against the South.
Was he wearing a white linen suit and a string tie as he was saying it, wearing a floppy white hat? Or was he in regulation?
And see, on April 30th, the state of Mississippistan will observe as a formal state holiday Confederate Memorial Day, which became a state holiday all the way back in 2021.
So it's what you call your short-standing tradition.
Precisely.
Oh, man.
Jesus.
I don't know. Here's one for you, and Wikipedia claims it's not true, but I know from an authority on the topic that it is true. Earlier you referenced the JFK assassination. You remember J.D. Tippit?
Yes.
The police officer who was shot?
Right.
His J.D. apparently was Jefferson Davis Tippit, which is why you always see J.D. Tippit. What does that tell you about?
Which is why former Alabama Senator and Attorney General of the United States is always known as Jeff Sessions.
Yeah, as opposed to...
Because he's Fuller. Jefferson Beauregard Sessions the Tud.
The Tud.
And,
that's right.
And the Davis part, because he's not named after Thomas. He's named after Jefferson Davis, as his father was before him and his father before him.
Yeah.
And if you take it back in time, the first Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions was born long about the time of the rise of Jim Crow and the Lost Cause horseshit.
Mm-hmm.
And
don't forget the statues.
Lord, it just gets so exhausting.
I know. I'm in recent years, I've tried as best I can to take better care of myself because I want to be part of this fight as long as I've got some fight in me and there's something worth fighting for. And I'm tired and worn out. It didn't used to be such a heavy lift to keep things rational and on as even a keel as we could possibly manage. But anymore, it's like, and they set it up this way. They really do. And I don't mean our side, I mean their side. And the ferocity with which they are waging the battle, and it is a battle, is indicative of just how flimsy and dwindling and dying their ideas are in the big picture. Yeah, you're going to find pockets of it no matter how far we progress. But it becomes increasingly more difficult for them to maintain their whatever momentum they've got, because most people who have some viable brain cells to bang together know the sinister nature of that way of thinking. And it's not in our nature as rational, decent human beings, those of us who are, to buy into that crap. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. I mean, most people...
No, I'm confident. I'm confident. Yeah.
Most people want the country to work and want the world to work in a positive, rational, decent way. Because it's better for everybody involved, first of all, and by everybody, I mean people who want that type of thing to occur that way, not the ones who don't. I don't want to lift a finger to help those people, if I can help it, because they're up to no good, and they've always been up to no good. They do not have anyone's interests in their hearts, to the extent they have that part of the anatomy. They don't want things to work. They want chaos. They want division. They want confusion. They want pain and suffering, except for their people. And by their people, I mean the rich people who are pulling all the strings. I don't mean the peons who are stupid enough to vote for them. And it's getting rather tiresome. It's getting rather grueling, and it makes me mad enough to spit, and I don't spit very often.
Not a bunch.
Oh, by the way.
Yes.
To talk about something lighter and fluffier and fun. I think your goodie arrived. Were you able to retrieve it from the postal place?
It has not as yet.
Oh, really? Because the Amazon people tell me it should have gotten there like Saturday or something.
No.
Well, this is not good. Wait a minute. Let me double check.
Depending on how it was packaged, it may be waiting for me at the post office, because Amazon sometimes drops stuff at my post office.
Oh. Well, no, I used the Eisenhower address.
Okay. You used, yeah, okay, yeah. So I haven't been over there, so it's waiting on me.
Okay, let me just double check and make sure that I'm not misquoting myself. My orders.
No. If you send it to the Eisenhower address, it's there. I just have to. I went to Beckley today, but I didn't have time to swing by the post office.
Oh, it says it was delivered Thursday. Hell, that's pretty good.
Well, that's. I'll be there probably Saturday.
Oh, okay. Because you mentioned you took your daughter to the dentist, and I didn't know if the dentist was down that way or up that way or around that way.
No, that was over to Summersville, which is the exact opposite direction.
Well, we've got to get you in a place where things are actually where you are as opposed to where you are.
Oh, Lord, I know. I know. And by the way, we had a note from Les. Subject, gun control. Hi, Les. The smart and the dumb thing to do. It's a little late for that now that Biden ran his mouth. The smart thing to do for Democrats facing an uphill battle in the coming midterms would have been to shut the entire fuck up about anything concerning gun control. The false assumption by the party leadership is that their party voters are all in for gun control and the other side's voters are against. The truth is, black folk, the bulk of which vote for Democrats, are also having an ever-increasing number of gun owners. That membership of black gun owners has blazed up more than any other group due to the ascension of an out-and-proud white supremacist to the White House. More importantly than him are the new Nazis that he inspired to crawl out from under their bunkers with their 40-plus-year head start in weapons, ammo, and training. When we, black gun owners, hear the politicians that arrived in office only by the power of our votes say gun control, what we actually hear is we, the well-protected elites, have decided that we are going to stop you from your feeble attempt to legally catch up to the 40-year head start of those that wish you dead. Does that mean we switch to Republic-clans? Hell no. That being said, it doesn't bring us to a lack of enthusiasm to vote into power supermajorities for those that wish to stop us from protecting ourselves. We, more than any other group, know that this country comes in two flavors. One, that wish us back into the servitude, into servitude or death, and two, those that are apathetic to our struggle making decisions that make white liberals comfortable and neglecting us only coming back for our votes every 2 and 4 years. Let's not forget that prior to this, the party that we empowered has decided not to pass voting protection laws. Fuck you, Manchinima. Amen. And a cowbell for that. The party that we lead to victory, whose leader said we led to victory, whose leader said he owes us debt, has decided to let border agents who whipped Haitian migrants from horseback get the same punishment as the Catholic Church gives to pedo priests. That is, quietly move them around to another location out of sight. The party that put on kente cloth and took a knee performatively in front of cameras during the summer of black folk and other solidarity protesting against the abuse of militarily armed killer cops now wants to fund police at a higher level than any other time in history. There's a planned genocide coming in the minds of a lot of those who vote GQP. They never miss an opportunity to show us who they are, from tiki torches to SCOTUS hearings. It would be pure madness for us to voluntarily disarm or allow our so-called friends to disarm us while doing nothing at all to collect those arms our enemies already have. To date, the government has proved that it cannot, or rather decides not, to lay out any real punishment to those who committed armed insurrection. They don't show us any willingness to protect their own house, but want to have a say in how we protect ours. Maybe it's true these weapons should have never been in civilian hands, but it's 40-plus years too late for that now. Do not tell us we can only have a revolver or break-action shotgun to defend ourselves against those who will never give up the truckloads of advanced, high-powered, high-capacity equipment that they have. Doing so, as we are already lacking voting enthusiasm due to disrespect, may cause a significant number of us to go fishing in November. The only thing Biden did with that speech is light a fire up under GQP voters while pouring water on his, on us, his party's often loyal, yet often neglected base. And there's a lot that Les packed into that, and not a lot to fight about or argue with.
No, hell no. Brilliantly and accurately put, and bravo, Les.
The thing is, if you feel like was this a solution in search of a problem, the ghost guns? I don't think so, because at least the statistics that they cited tend to indicate that they are entering circulation more and more frequently. And Lady B did a takedown of why that is at the beginning of the program brilliantly. And she was right insofar as, these things are not being manufactured by the people who use them to commit crimes. They are, basically they're kits. And it's not necessarily of printing something with a 3D printer. I mean, that, I think the 3D printer guns are a different animal from the ghost guns,
yeah,
as far as
are.
I can tell.
They are.
These are literally kits. Like I said at the beginning of the program, back in the day, and I actually built one of them, you could build a muzzle loader. It would come to you, and, it's kind of like building the Pinewood Derby car out of the, for scouts. Remember the Pinewood Derby?
I think.
You carved out a little car, and you put the wheels through it and had a little car. Well, never mind. Those were, the stock and the barrel come in, and you have to assemble the cap lock and get everything put together, and then, you stain the wood, and it's like paper dolls for guys who like guns.
Hey, in my youth, I was lucky to put together my Revell battleships and airplanes. And
most complicated thing I ever did was the USS Constitution.
No, I couldn't do any of those. I
was high for a month of Sunday on the glue with that.
But the ones that I did do, and I think it was Revell that made these as well, the model making company. It was the famous Hollywood Monsters series.
Oh, I built those.
your Frankenstein, you had your Dracula, you had your Wolfman,
yeah,
and your Mummy. Oh, those were fun. I wish I still had them. And yes,
there was a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
That too, yes. And I believe there was a Phantom of the Opera, which was yes. the rarest.
Yes, because he was just taking his mask off.
You did get a nice little buzz from that airplane glue. Ooh.
Yep.
It led me down a path that I've still not sufficiently recovered from, I don't think.
And like I said, you could do, the Colt Navy revolver. You could do the Kentucky long rifle. And so some wise ass said, hey, why can't we do this for pistols? All the pistols are mostly plastic now anyway, which is true.
So they're not so much ghost guns, they're theoretical guns. They're guns in theory.
They're kit guns.
Because they're kits.
And see, that'll be the talking point that we get our ass beaten with.
Well, there's plenty of lawful, God-fearing, Bible-believing, anosexual, fundamentalist, Christian, Republican Americans who love America because America is love and it's the greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, forever, in the universe under God. Amen. And they got a right. They got a right under the Second Amendment.
And don't get me wrong.
To build these kit pistols. And you know what? Serial numbers ain't but another way for the government to come in someday and took in all of our guns and therefore took in all of our freedom.
I'm not saying that ghost guns are not a viable issue to be concerned about. But going back to that episode of the circus on Showtime the other night, that's not what people are talking about currently. They're talking about inflation. Been to the grocery store lately? Or the price of gasoline?
Yeah, my $4 box of saltines is a hell of a note.
Well, I mean, and I hope to God whoever's making the commercials for November and for the upcoming primaries is focusing on the things that people are actually mostly talking about. Yeah, there's a long list of issues, but you got to pick from among the top five, because if the other side is beating that drum, we've got to beat similar drums as vigorously. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, come on.
I think that there's truth in what Les said about people, politicians disconnected from general reality, thinking there are things that the Democratic base wants that the Democratic base is not sitting around saying, oh, gee, I wish we had something like that.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. It's like messaging, and we never get this right or seldom get this right. The Republicans are you know, it almost makes you wish that they had messages that were worthy enough to be crafted so effectively. God, imagine what the Republicans could be if they were messaging correctly and appropriately and positively. You know, but they're not. They never will. You know, they're always going to be the lost causers of the political universe. But I don't get a comforting feeling going into these midterms and these nearer primaries, if we're not getting that part of the equation right. And judging from this thing on the circus the other night, I don't know that we are. Maybe some are, but certainly not enough of us. And I don't know what to do about it. See, that's my problem. I know how to vote. I know how to pay attention. I know what concerns me. But I'm not saying I'm smarter than your average voter.
You are.
But I'm easy to convince because I already buy into the proposition. You know? It's not like you're going to lose me to the dark side anytime soon.
Well, just to sort of drive home the truth of what we've been talking about, consider a little something from Fox News TV Radio Rwanda today. They had a breaking news alert because Fox News TV Radio Rwanda is in New York City. And so the shooting was in Brooklyn. And so they broke in to talk about it. But look where the conversation, or listen to where the conversation went.
If we don't get some revenue from the subways, from the buses, and from the trains.
All right, Brian, bearing in mind the situation that's developing in New York City right now, what's your reaction to the president's crackdown on ghost guns? That was what he was all about yesterday afternoon, went to great lengths on ghost guns. Your reaction?
This is all about crime and punishment. We have the crime. We supplied that. Can we get some punishment? That allows the law and order, the officers to do their job, knowing they'll be held to pay if I bring him or her in for the crime that they perpetrated instead of getting right out. That's the same story in New York, in Chicago, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. The ghost guns is such an insult. As the sheriff I spoke to this morning in San Francisco is now running for office, he says it's like blaming the car for a drunk driver. Yeah, ghost guns are a problem. Of course, if you have a unmarked gun that was put together with parts, yeah. But guess what, Stuart? I could get you. You could order a ghost gun right now. You're not going to shoot anybody. I'm not shooting anybody.
Well, thanks for helping Emery and Marveline out with that.
Buddy, most of our audience could get a ghost gun and not have it registered, but you're not going to be killing anybody. The problem is the criminal mind and the punishment that they know is not coming. Cover the New York Post today. 17-year-old shoots 16-year-old. The 17-year-old is going to be tried as a juvenile, which means they're out in 6 years. Is that what you should be doing for murdering somebody?
Really? I'll make a prediction. When the president goes out yesterday and hammers ghost guns and then says he wants to go further, the result of that will be probably 1 million Americans will go out and buy their first gun.
Always.
That's exactly what's going to happen. There are now 5 million more.
Now the question, Scott, is, you know, Stuart Varney there said that he hammered on the ghost guns, and now 1 million Americans will go out tomorrow and buy a ghost gun. Well, doesn't that become a self-fulfilling prophecy?
Well, who do we know that would do that? I mean, yeah, there might be
people who watch Fox.
Well, yeah, that was my concern.
Well, you know, Marveline, when ghost guns is outlawed, only outlaws will have ghost guns.
I recognize Stuart Varney's voice.
Me, I want me one. I want me one of them space ghost guns.
Who is the other guy?
Oh, it's Brian Kilmeade.
Oh God! Again with the killing of the brain cells. I'm sorry, I don't mean to.
And Varney went on to say, the Second Amendment makes America a unique country, and that's one of the reasons I'm here.
Now, we know why you're there, Stuart. You're there for the paycheck.
Well, hell yeah!
Or am I painting with too broad?
And the fact of the matter is, there's a magnetometer in front of getting it to pass through to get into Fox.
Yeah,
because they damn sure don't want the rubes who watch it just wandering in off the street with their freedom protector and busting a cap in stew.
Yeah, there you go. This is why I don't watch them. They have nothing for me.
Well, all I do is, you know, I get the dumbass clips. That's what I do. I could never just turn it on and watch for a while.
You can drop the dumbass, because any clip that you get from them is automatically, by virtue of the venue, dumbass. Wouldn't you? Is that a safe bet? Will you take that bet?
No. Yeah. Sure. And the fact, you know, the fact of the matter is, I don't know what would happen. Well, I think we can guess what would happen to me if I watched it for a while. Wake up one morning, detransition, and start railing about trans kids and the poor political prisoners of 1-6.
Well, it's all about that movie I told you about the other day. You were talking about it. You didn't mention the title, and I sent it in. The Brainwashing of My Dad.
The Brainwashing of My Dad, exactly.
Yeah, and it's millions of our friends, neighbors, and or relatives have bought into this shit since the 90s. This is all they know about the world and people in the world. Now do the math and tell me how that works out for us all. When you've got that sizable an audience hanging on to every word, either from Fox News or Onan or any of the right-wing talk radio programs, This is all they know. And I use know in air quotes because to know that is to really know nothing.
Okay, this is all they are exposed to. How's that?
Exposed to. Thank you. That works.
Oh, by the way, Ron and Raleigh had a suggestion for you. Tell Scott to avoid Rachel withdrawal by trying Mehdi Hassan on the Peacock Network. Mehdi calls bullshit on Republicans as well or better than anyone else on the air. That's true. He's very good. Billable Rick a while back.
Maybe I will, because I'm really kind of miffed at Rachel.
Billable Rick gave you a cowbell for his deadpan. One got by you when you and Scotty were talking about Coke versus Pepsi. Scotty said, of course, Coke. It's the real thing. It wasn't lost on me, but Billable Rick says it's worth a cowbell. You, by God, get it. Let me add to the conversation now by bringing Todd into it.
Oh, boy, I like Todd.
I know. Hey, Todd.
Hey, what's up, you people?
You people!
Hey, yeah. Hey, who you calling you people, you person?
Who you calling you people? I saw
that a few minutes ago, and it's like, this has to happen.
I mean, come on. Where else can I do that? I mean, come on, man. Bro.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You peopled me. You people.
It's you people.
Normally, I don't do you people until later in the week.
later in the week. Yeah, that's like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday type thing, huh?
Yeah, you people, don't hit me with it this early. I can't make it the rest of the week. Hi, Todd.
How you doing, Scott? So Scott, I have a couple of questions for you.
Go ahead.
Is that okay? Because time is short. When folks are just talking about what you were talking about. Now, why is it, black people are not allowed to defend themselves? It's a big, they can't. No.
Right, and what that is, if I could just jump in real quick, is you can have facially neutral ordinances, statutes, and the like. You can have gun laws that don't say black people. But in the hands of a racist sheriff or a racist police commissioner, that facially neutral statute will be used to institutionally racist ends. Oh, gee, your application got lost. The next one's going to get lost, too.
Now,
you people can't be running around with guns.
See, you know what? If you know this, because you know me long enough, I was kind of like drifting, like looking for my point, and you could probably hear that. But you got right to the chase, or chafe. I'm not sure what it is, but you'll correct me. Is it chafe or chase?
Chase.
I think it's chase.
It's chase.
It's chase? Okay. Well, I need to know that. That's important. Okay, so because this makes me think about, and this really, honest to God, this just pisses me off to my toenails. Those jackasses in Brunswick, Georgia, and they got what they deserve. You know, I mean, what I'm talking about, I don't need Aubrey, the Aubrey incident where Aubrey got lynched with a firearm in Brunswick, Georgia, you know. Where coincidentally, that's where what you call is from. This wannabe politician, Herschel Walker. I'm just saying, I've been in it many times, and it is deep. It's like Wild Gator deep south. That's what it feels. It's always subtropical. It really is. But anyway, so we got these ex law enforcement folk, and you're still not allowed to defend yourself. It felt like it was okay.
Well, I'm sure somewhere along the way during the coverage of the lynching of Ahmaud Arbery, there was some gun humper out there who said, if he'd had a gun, he could have shot back.
No, well, he could have, and then I guess what would happen? He would have been dead, and then tried and convicted of Yeah, murder.
They would have tried him dead.
Exactly. So that's, you know, that's not lost on me. Because remember, see, this is where we are in lots of parts of Texas, and you know, don't smoke his beard. You know, Britovo, he can attest to this, because if you have a license to carry, a concealed carry permit, you are, you know, you're a higher level of citizen in the fascist South. That means you're someone of stature.
Yeah.
You see, I don't know if people understand that shit. I mean, okay. Am I off base here or what?
No, you're not. For a lot of people who aren't, and I'm not being, you know, what, geographically elite or anything, because there's nothing to be elite about being Southern. But if you've never lived in the culture, you're going to have a hard time comprehending it.
You know, I remember when I went to get my
kind of like ordering a grit.
Hey, yeah, well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, don't do that. No. Mm-mm.
So just to go back to guns for a minute, Annette sent this story along to me from the Associated Press. The NRA wins again. An Olympian from Puerto Rico by the name of Yarimar Mercado Martinez. And apparently she is an Olympian target shooter. Ms. Martinez was mourning the death of her 56-year-old mama. This took place in Waterbury, Connecticut. Mabel Martinez was literally sitting in her chair doing some sewing when a guy who was outside the home was shot in the leg, probably the target of the attack. But a stray bullet went through, I guess, a window or a wall and struck Ms. Martinez's mama in the head. And she died at the hospital this past Sunday. And Yarimar Mercado Martinez, the Olympian, said, "Why you? Why this way? You were just sitting in your little house sewing like you always did." She was planning on doing a renewal of their vows, Mabel was, in Puerto Rico. And her daughter said, "There are so many things I still needed to learn from you. I was so far away without being able to do anything. I couldn't even say goodbye to you." And she said, that she just can't compete.
Can't compete?
Yeah, just bowing out of the, you know. This may be an old story. I don't see a dateline on it. But, you know, you don't really need a dateline for this, because it's any time in America.
I think it is recent. I don't know how recent, but it seems to me I just heard that recently. But it comes under the heading of senseless.
Well, she did compete. She competed in the Summer Olympics last year and in 2016.
It's
so it is current.
It's senseless gun violence. So why do we need kits to add to the problem? It's maddening.
Yeah, it is. And again, these things, So if a guy walking by on the street in Waterbury, Connecticut, and I don't know that much about Waterbury, but sounds like it, well, anywhere in America. The question arises, do we just say, oh, well, this is the price of freedom? Mabel had to go. Obviously, whoever it was that, whoever it was that shot the guy in the leg, well, obviously that's criminal conduct, but he may very well have been a lawful gun owner. Or maybe he was using a ghost gun. Or maybe he was using a ghost gun that was purchased in, I don't know, one of the easy states to buy guns in states and taken back to Connecticut.
Well, I want to take a stab, if I can mix my weapon metaphors here, at I think the question that Todd brought to the table about the the different standard when minorities have a weapon. It's viewed differently. It's certainly treated differently. And I think Todd's old enough to recall that incident in Sacramento regarding gun laws back when Reagan was governor of California, long before I got here, when the members of the Panthers were up in the balcony of the state capitol overseeing the
and posed on the Capitol steps. That's when Ronnie Reagan got serious about gun control.
No, they were in the balcony.
Right? Oh, no, but they posed on the steps. That's the iconic photo.
Yeah, and he got pretty snappy with the gun laws once he saw the beret-wearing, threatening-looking black folks toting weaponry.
Well, in Ronald Reagan's world, they would have been threatening if they'd been wearing the beanies with propellers on the tops. Okay.
Well, there's that. Yes, but
and Darlene. Go ahead.
67, I think. 66 or 67,
and
I recall.
Darlene tells me the mother, an Olympic rifle shooter of all things. She was an Olympic rifle shooter. Her body will be returned to Puerto Rico for burial. It was reported on CBS this morning. It's a recent story. Waterbury, Darlene says, is where I was born. It's a city, rather hilly, sprawling city, and densely populated.
And for those who can't tell the difference, in the Olympics, you get a gold, silver, or bronze medal for your skill and accuracy. In Waterbury, you get a dead mother. Something wrong with this situation.
Yeah.
Something tragic and maddeningly wrong.
It's interesting that there are shooting sports competitions in both the summer and the winter games.
Well, one of them, don't the skiers?
Yeah, in the winter games, it's, you know, you ski a little bit, and then you shoot a little bit, and then you ski a little bit, and you shoot a little bit, and that's the biathlon.
That's like, no, I'm not going to say it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's continue. That's okay. But it's, and you know, there are air rifle competitions that don't involve actual, you know, gunpowder.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think, because we watched a movie the other night just because Annette and I were looking at it. I forget what we were talking about, but she looks at me and says, Rommel, you magnificent bastard, I read your book! and then said, let's watch that. But I think it was at the Olympics in maybe like 1912 that Patton did something to revolutionize the pistol competition.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I could be way off, but yeah, because I think that was the same summer games where Jim Thorpe cleaned house.
Well, I know
he might have done something in 1911.
He winged one of the ceremonial doves flying around the stadium. I do recall that. No, he didn't really. I'm just trying to.
Yeah, being facetious, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, was it 11, Todd?
Yeah. There's 45, you know, the regular 45 that we all know of. That's in the 1911 Colt 45.
Yeah, but I think it was the 1912 games.
Okay. Well, right. So that I was just thinking, because he was known for, he loved that weapon. I'm just, not only because, you know, history and stuff.
Semi-automatic pistols begin with the Mauser broom handle. And curiously, you can say that the Mauser broom handle may have actually played a role in saving the world from fascism, indirectly. Because a young Winston Churchill was, I forget the name of the outfit, the Queen's very own precious Lancers or something like that. And Churchill participated in the last great British cavalry charge at Khartoum that was led by Lord Kitchener. And he decided...
In WW1.
No. This was the campaign against the Mahdi. It was a Sudanese uprising, and the British the British colonial boot came down hard. But they were literally lancers. These were guys on horseback who had lances. Cavalry with spears. In the late 19th century. But Winston Churchill's mama, I think it was, said, and she was American, "Dear son, please find enclosed a Mauser broom handle pistol. I don't want you going into battle with no damn spear." Or something to that effect. Or maybe he made the choice. I don't recall. It's a better story if Mama sends him the pistol. So he rode into battle with that Mauser broom handle, if I recall my Churchill biography correctly, and laid waste around him. He wasn't gigging. I mean, he wasn't using that spear for a gig. No, bam.
Weren't they still wearing those Gunga Din-type helmets?
Oh, yeah.
Always thought they were pretty cool, as helmets go.
Yeah, you know, when you're a colonial oppressor, you want to be a snappy dresser about it.
Yeah, of course.
I thought that was clever.
You didn't stop that.
Oppressor?
That was funny.
Oppressor, dresser? I mean, come on. God damn it, I'm freestyling here.
Look, anyway, people got it. You don't hear feedback, but people got it. Oh God. You know what's funny? I look at that weapon every day.
The shiny boots, jodhpurs, and the helmet, and you got yourselves an outfit.
Absolutely.
And a magnificent steed.
Yes, don't forget the steed. By the way, also don't forget, we got a little over 15 minutes left in the program, and there's a $100 challenge waiting on the table. $50 of it has been met. We need 10 more people at $10, or one person at 100, two at 50, four at 25, eight at 1250. You know, look at me ciphering. Hey, Ma, I'm dancing. And it would be great because there's when Gun Humpers Choose, You Lose anonymous challenges on the table that would wipe out a big chunk of the remainder of last week, what was left over from last Wednesday, for God's sakes, and wipe out Thursday and maybe get us started on Friday. And, of course, I will not be here tomorrow. Please.
Well, simply put, you'll never have a better opportunity than right now.
Yeah, this is a two-for-oneer.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
This isn't just a one-to-one challenge. This is a two-for-one.
I would say this is a perfect time for someone who has never contributed but listened to jump in the water.
I'm not going to argue that point with you. You're very much correct. So, let's see. I had a couple of others here that were just precious. We mentioned Brian Kemp earlier. He was the governor of Georgia. He got he was involved in a Q&A earlier today, and some maggots decided to heckle him as he was up at the podium. This is worth the price of admission.
What was that?
We require voter ID, all the boxes that you sign up on the table.
Consent decree.
Yeah.
You talking about a consent decree?
Yes.
Okay, well, I had nothing to do with the consent decree.
So nobody did. It just poofed.
Who should have signed off on it? You got any proof of that?
You did it with us.
I like that. You got any proof of that? Well, Donald Trump said so. This is at the Fulton County GOP. So this is right there in Atlanta. And so you got to, well, you know who the usual suspects are.
Sir, that's not true.
And the AG.
Sir, that's not true. I was Secretary of State for 9 years. I know how the process works. I didn't have anything to do with the consent decree. And so anybody that says I did, just show the proof of where my name is on that. Okay? What, did you have a question?
No, just tell
him. Okay, well, telling something is not a question. That's your opinion, and you're wrong on that. All right? Yes, ma'am.
Oh, she's been studying.
To be 25 and 30, on what's happened, and I've been studying this now for quite a while. I have three reporting the out-of-state voters still, as of 3 days ago, when I checked,
150. All right, well, ma'am, let me just explain something to you real quick. I know there's a lot of people that lie to people about what my powers are. I mean, I'm the governor, right? I'm not a dictator. I was Secretary of State for 9 years, and I can tell you, every single day, as serving as your governor, I had done exactly what I said I would do when I put my hand on the Bible and said I would follow the laws and the Constitution of this state and the Constitution of the United States. All the issues that you're talking about, you need to talk to the Secretary of State about that.
In other words, he punted on to Brad Raffensperger, who's already had his life threatened by the self-same maggots. But it is sort of
fun. Can you believe that?
It is sort of fun to hear them tearing at each other, ain't it? Sorry, I was getting kind of Andy Griffith there, but yeah.
That is, you know, he's absolutely repulsive. That you know, these people, and by the way, earlier on, when you were talking about how close the race is, the Warnock race, that's like the Trump versus Biden. Okay, Biden won, great. You know, he's our president. But why was it that close? You know, and the same goes for this race here. You know, why? How could it be that close? We're in trouble.
Well, there's a lot of, I hate to say it, but there may be a lot of people sitting on their hands so far because midterm election, and because, frankly, they haven't gotten a pony yet. God, Democrats are so good at this. No, I didn't get a pony, so I'm going to stay home. When in 90% of the time, whatever it is that people think they're pissed at Joe Biden about, they're not. And they're not necessarily pissed at the House of Representatives. God damn it, the dust is 3 feet. I mean, it's like an archaeological site on Mitch McConnell's desk and Joe Manchin's.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's just this this mix of this sludgy mix of blood and dust.
It is starting to calcify. You know, you got to get a pickaxe to dig down. Meanwhile, we're just like, you know, walking around like, I don't know what's going on. You know, come on, people. These folks have shown, they've shown us who they are. They have shown us. They don't want you to vote. And you better check, everybody, you better check and make sure you have nothing wiped from the rolls right now. You better do that shit now. I'm not kidding.
Yeah. I've already checked my registration, and hell, they may very, you know, when I show up in a stunning cocktail frock or something, they may challenge me. But one of the maggots at that Georgia Fulton County GOP meeting said, "You're a liar," I guess we lost Scott or something, but he's back. But he said, "You're a liar," and that's when Kemp said, "If you want to know what the truth is about the election, you should first relearn what the laws and the Constitution say. And what the laws and the Constitution say don't matter a hill of beans to a maggot, because they want a dictator. They're not just okay with it; they want it."
The fascist South. How many times have we talked about this?
I mean, we have a beautiful opportunity here if we could learn, Todd, to you know, seize the opportunity. Nitwit Nero endorsed Mehmet Oz, you know, Dr. Oz, for the Pennsylvania Republican nomination. And in endorsing Dr. Oz, he said, "This is all about winning elections in order to stop the radical left maniacs from destroying our country. The great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania has a tremendous," that's a capital T, tremendous adjective, "opportunity to save America by electing the brilliant and well-known Dr. Mehmet Oz." And all of a sudden, right-wing maggots lost their shit. Because, you know, he's not sufficiently MAGA. If our side is the sparkle fart propelled unicorn cavalry purity patrol, I don't know what the other side is. I mean, are they the MAGA fart propelled elephant brigade? But whatever. Oh, they're not happy, and they're willing to tear each other to pieces. And all we have to do is come out and vote. Get out the vote. Get out the vote is always everything.
You came full circle. That was very good.
Thank you.
And no, it's like, you know, you have to act like you're black. You can't be as good. You have to be better. You can't just vote. You got to really vote. In fact, you got to take four people with you. You just can't one person. No. You have to bring a cadre of folk with you when you go to vote.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
the key word this time around is engagement.
I mean, we have had significant improvements in the time, which, by the way, here in April 2022, is a little less than a year. Well, it's about a year and a quarter of Biden in office. But by God, we want that pony. We want it now. You know, there's too many on our side of the ideological debate who are freaking Veruca Salt, okay? I want it now! And I have some good news. Thank you. Thank you so much to Lady B and to George and to Ralps. We are only $43 away from meeting the When Gun Humpers Choose, You Lose 2-for-1 challenge. That's huge, because you know, it would be so nice to come back here on Thursday and not be looking at some really horrifying number. And we've put some horrifying negative numbers up lately. Lady B, by the way, had a note for us. Coke, Pepsi, and Marsha times three. Oh, this is going to be good. I'm a fan of Pepsi. It's sweeter. Also, I used to work as a Pepsi girl. We worked out of a trailer at outdoor events. We gave out free samples and had to change the carbonation machines. Believe it or not, they were still doing that in the early 90s. One more tidbit. My grandma and granddaddy lived in Oklahoma County, Mississippi, which was a dry county. My dad would drive 10 miles to the county line and get a supply of beer for himself during our week-long stay. I assume shit's cool now, but who knows? Mississippi, goddamn indeed. I don't know if they got around to changing it, but I know at one point in time, Oxford, Mississippi, where Ole Miss is, the University of Mississippi, it was you could buy beer there, but it was illegal to have it cold. As loopy as that may sound, Mississippi, goddamn indeed. Anyway, Lady B says, who did they poll to get those numbers for Walker? It's probably all Republicans. Some black folks don't vote and don't care, but they ain't stupid. They respect Warnock. Warnock is the pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church, our hero's former church. The man we named a national holiday after his father's old church. So unless they were paying cash, the only black folks who'd think positively about mentally disturbed Walker are among the bipolar motherfuckers who stick out at Trump rallies like black ants in a sugar bowl. Wait a minute. As far as that goofy Karen named Marsha, it takes a hell of a lot of white privilege to think you could go toe-to-toe with a black woman who busted her ass as a law student at Harvard. Fucking Harvard law student. As my grandma used to say, Ketanji wasn't studying Marsha Blackburn. That woman is a fly on your granddaddy's front porch, easily dismissed by a wave of her hand. Thanks for the compliments. I love to write, even though most of the time I'm just talking shit. But I hope folks get something out of it. I think Horn listeners do. Keep on keeping on, Robin. You're making good trouble. Here's to the truth. May it comfort us in these times of turmoil. Indeed. Thank you, Lady B. Sorry, I'm still a Coke girl. Caffeine-free Coke Zero, which is like, you know, when I finally go down for my... I will be, oddly enough, I will be 6 months post-op on the very day of my primary, which is May 10th, and on June 30th, at like almost 8 months, I'll have my six-month checkup, which I'm looking forward to, and while I'm down there, I will load up on caffeine-free Coke Zero and Diet Grapeco and caffeine-free Diet Mountain Dew. Because apparently they don't have any problem getting that down there. Up here, the trucks just don't run that far. Oh, well. Our generous anonymous contributor of the 2-for-1 When Gun Humpers Choose, You Lose challenge just noted, at present I'm on the hook for $214. Let's make it $300. So we got $43 to go and a very short time to get there. So I'm hoping that we'll finish this challenge this evening. It would be very, very helpful. And thanks to everybody who has jumped in. And by the way, Jude notes reflection when it's insane. I'm reminded when in the midst of such cleansing occurs by the focus on the integrity and goodness that resides with each of us, our scares are the strength we house, assisting in not being dragged into the vortex of the insane. My best to all of the Horn family and all the kindred spirits. And from Khalil Gibran, out of suffering have emerged the strongest souls. The most massive characters are seared with scars. Thank you, Jude. Thank you so much. So you were going to say something, Todd?
Yeah, well, now I really have to say something. Do you understand that when I was a very little boy, that was always on the coffee table in the living room. It was a small book on a stand.
The Prophet?
I mean, like, I'm not kidding. Like, that's, you know, wow. So, but, you know, I wasn't expecting that. You know, dude is always coming with these left hooks, man. But, you know what? Everyone right now, you know, we have to remember, even people we don't agree with, we need more love right now. Because a lot of people are in pain. They may not tell you that. But look at the way people are driving and the way they behave in public. You know, a lot of people are damaged. Maybe they were already damaged before the pandemic, but it exacerbated, you know, some things that were going on with them. And we have to recognize that and give people some space and be, you know, extra nice when you're out. Because it means a lot. Like, it means a lot. Like, sometimes that might be the nicest thing anyone might hear all day.
Yeah.
You know.
I keep coming back to that line from Hemingway's "The Sun Also Rises" when Lady Brett looks at Jake and says, "Not being a bitch is what we have instead of God."
Oh, and that's the segue in the second thing I had to say. I really have to say this because you might know it. I think it's called Second Generation Revolution, something to that effect. But it's a documentary. And I mean, this is like really granular. This is like, I don't know where this shit came from. But these hillbillies from West Virginia came to Chicago. This is like right before Chicago, you know, right before the riots. And apparently, there were already a lot of hillbillies that had been living, you know, kind of on the edge of the hood, or, you know, kind of being like beatniks and shit. You know, coal miner, offspring of coal miner people. But they were coalescing. You know, it was like they were trying to do things, and the Black Panther, the Party for Self-Defense, they were trying to do things too. And they came together, and somebody had a movie camera. And they filmed this shit. This is some real, man, this is just raw. This is like history. And in fact, what I'll do, I'll dig it up. I'll get it. I'll email you or whatever, get it to you, because this is really important stuff.
Hey, Todd.
I'd like to see that, yeah.
Wasn't there a woman from either West Virginia or maybe somewhere in the South, a heavyset white woman who worked for the auto industry in either Detroit or Chicago, probably Detroit, because I've seen her in a couple of documentaries, and I can't remember her name, but she may have been part of that grouping that you mentioned.
She might have, Scott.
Because I've seen her in a couple of different documentaries of about that era. God, I wish I could remember her name.
Well, let me tell you how raw this thing is. They had, you know, undercover police were in the room, and they identified them, and they just started, you know, they smiled. They were, you know, like, okay, you know, I'm here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like raw. This is like this needs to be in the Library of Congress raw. This is just American history in action. And I'm going to follow through on this because I think everyone should see this. This is very important.
Yeah, send
because
that
they were trying.
Send that to Robin if once you get the particulars on it, because I know what you're referring to, because I know I've seen something along those lines a long time ago.
Yeah, this is from like this, like I said, 68. You know, growing up when Chicago blew up, and It's just real. I mean, my God, you see, it's just amazing to see these folks together. I mean, you're almost like skinhead type people, but everybody, because everybody's being subjected, you know, by the authorities.
Well, always remember that wonderful line from the movie. You have seen the movie Mate One, right, Todd?
Oh my God, yes.
All we got in common is our misery. So the least we can do is share it. And there has been a hillbilly diaspora every time the coal industry has gone belly up. I remember Dwight Yoakam had a song called Reading, Writing, Route 23. I'm not sure if he wrote that or if he was covering it, but you know, Route 20, US 23 was the number of the highway that led out of Appalachia and down toward the south where there were jobs. And then there was another diaspora that ran north to Toledo and Detroit and, yes, Chicago. And that is how the term for it, and I'm not making light, that is how the hillbilly brain drain came about. All those people who knew damn good and well how to vote, people who came from families that had and you know, I was reminded of this when I was watching Winning Time on HBO Max. There's a scene inside Magic Johnson's childhood home, and his mama was all upset because she looks at it. It's a delightful scene. He's been drafted by the Lakers, and his mama looks at him. Says, "Do they even have churches in Los Angeles?" "Yeah, mama, they got the biggest churches in Los Angeles." But there on the wall are twin portraits, one of Jesus H. Christ and the other of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I immediately flashed on that because I recognized the mindset, because once upon a time in this state, there would be either two or three photographs hanging on the wall. One would be Jesus. He sat for a lot of portraits, Jesus did. The other would be John L. Lewis, the president of the United Mine Workers. And in some cases, FDR. And that was the generation that saw probably the greatest prosperity that this state has ever known, at the same time that there was the greatest heartbreak. And the coal industry worked nonstop to try to reduce its workforce, bring in more machines to do more human labor. And while the United Mine Workers had begun as, from jump, it was an integrated union. Immigrant, native, black, white, the union was open to all. Spanish. Hispanic, Portuguese. But toward the end of the 40s and into the 50s, I think it was the 1950s, when the Bituminous Coal Operators Association, which was the owner's union, I mean, they had a union, and that was the strong union. The Bituminous Coal Operators Union wanted to cut back the labor force, and the union said, "Well, we will strike," and they came to an agreement. The Bituminous Coal Operators Association and the UMWA would sign a contract, and central to it was that both sides agreed that what had to happen was the black folks had to go from the union. They went along with it. It's a dirty and shameful part of the past. And so, for instance, not far from me in the little town nearby, the black neighborhood was called Logtown Holler, and it was depopulated. People couldn't get black people couldn't get work, and you know that and then later on when the coal operators fucked the white people too, well, that's the fucking over of the black miners followed by the fucking over of the white miners is what led to the hillbilly diaspora north toward, like I said, Toledo and Akron and Cleveland and Detroit and Chicago. So I mean, there's a reason behind what you're talking about.
I mean, and I'm going to follow through on this because this is important. Like, really, this is a hidden gem. I mean, you're right there in the room. I mean, this is raw. This is just, this is primary source material.
Well, our pal, O-Pipe Down on Twitter said, she sent a link and says, is this what you're talking about? Chicago 1969, when Black Panthers aligned with Confederate flag wielding working class whites.
Yep.
That's the one.
Yep.
And it's at the, it's at theconversation.com.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. See what an important source you are. You see that?
Well, you're the one that brought this up. And thank you so much to our dear friend, Bernadette, she of Prees Trees. We're down to $23 to go on this challenge. And that's fantastic.
She's the one who polluted. That's beautiful. She's the one who polluted John Bernabeau's beard. Because I'm going to tell you, you cannot. Well, you smoke that, man, you got to stay away from that.
By the way, Darlene reminds us that on this day in 1945, FDR died in office. April is a rough month for American presidents. You got the murder of Lincoln. You've got you've got FDR dying in office. Both of whom were seeing the end of monumental struggles for freedom. And, you know, it was like Dr. King said, I may not cross over into the promised land with you, but I can see it from here. And Lady B, by the way, jumped in and said, Jesus and Martin, etc. From what I remember, Jesus was the paint by numbers. The rest were commemorative plates with JFK, RFK, and MLK. There was also plastic covering on the couch. Absolutely the plastic covering on the couch, right. Yeah. A paint by numbers Jesus. That would make a pretty good band name, too. But, yeah, somebody had labored over a paint-by-numbers board of Jesus with the little tiny pots of paint and little tiny brushes. Exactly. Thanks, Lady B. And at this point, just in the vain hope that we will actually be able to continue uploading to Podbean all the way to the end of April, I'm going to knock off.
Wait a minute. What is up with doing Podbean? No, I don't understand this. You pay the money.
It ain't on me. I pay the money. And they tell me I'm up. What it boils down to is there are, I think, relatively speaking, there are very few people doing old school radio like I do. That is to say, a 3-hour program 5 nights a week. And it becomes a burden to them for me to be taking up that much space.
Well, that's their problem. They should not make their problem your problem.
Well, and for years it wasn't until they decided it was.
All right, I'm sorry. I had to. All right. I apologize. Okay.
Yeah. So it's been a great conversation. I've enjoyed it immensely. I wish I was going to be here tomorrow night, but I just don't see it happening, given A, it's going to be rainy and crappy tomorrow. And B, it's a relatively long way to Huntington and a long way back. So have a great day tomorrow. I don't know, hold a little prayer meeting of your own. And we'll get back at it on Thursday. Scott, thanks so much for your thoughts. Thank you for yours, Todd. Thanks to everybody who jumped in on the When Gun Humpers Choose You Lose challenge. That makes all the... It's going to make a tremendous difference, especially if we can bring in the last $23. And hopefully that won't be a bridge too far. Paint by numbers, Jesus. Stephen New York notes, can't forget the Velvet Elvis. How could we? So thanks to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Remember, brand new fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is Head on .live. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. and now a union shop. Please reach out to your member of the House of Representatives and ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. It means the world to Appalachia. Please stay safe. Get your second booster. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Wear your mask when you're out among the great unwashed and unvaxxed. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet. Where at all possible, like Paul from Parts Unknown says, and for God's sakes, if some woman with tequila hair comes towards you, saying Tennesseans want a wall on the southern border, well, avoid that silly woman like the plague, because she is, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.